What's poppin', everybody? Woo! We are live on Facebook and recording our podcast here with the usual Thursday gang. This is the only show with any consistency, I think. Trudy making her special guest appearance from WCSX 94.7.
My God, I haven't been here forever.
I know. Well,
Happy New Year.
Since the Pizza Fuel show.
Right.
And Trudy's full of food today, too.
Oh, boy.
Look at it. What's all this?
Cookies. Cookies.
Cookies.
Cookies and milk.
The cheeseburger and fries.
I know, and wings.
That was not enough?
Guess not.
Okay, good.
It's kind of a binge when I come, so.
Coke for fuel, too. And
tomorrow.
What's this?
Coca-Cola.
Oh, Perrier?
Oh,
tomorrow, it's my first day with a trainer.
You hired a trainer?
Sweet.
It was a Christmas present for Joey, and he was like, no, I can't let you pay for that, you know, and so it's an awkward position. So,
so you got yourself a present.
Cool. I did.
You can't
Joey,
return it.
I got you a personal trainer, something I need very badly, but something you really probably need too.
Actually, it'll help him in the long run because I'll live longer. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a very
point. That is a gift to him. I like that. Excellent rationalization.
I know.
Mark's here from Berkeley, Joey from the East Side. Jay from Plymouth. I'm Drew from Ferndale. This is the Drew and Mike podcast for Thursday. I believe LaDuff will be here tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So that will be first time since he left. Well, he was on right after he left Fox 2, but he's full of things to say, I would imagine, as we are as well.
I saw there were a couple of tweets over the holidays. So,
yeah. Do you follow Charlie?
Yeah,
he's
of course.
Very proud that he has his 40,000 Twitter followers, and he doesn't follow anybody.
He doesn't even follow the house?
I don't think so.
He should, because the house
the one
is
thing, yeah.
Inseparable.
He's very, very proud of the fact that he follows no one.
He's keep your enemies closer, though.
True, yeah.
What
was the other inanimate object? Oh, yeah, we were talking about having the Ford
Mark
guys.
Mark Fields' hair.
Mark Fields' hair should have a Twitter account.
Somebody's
already doing that? Really?
What is it with Mark Fields' hair, though? I saw it just briefly.
Well, serious issue shallow thought from yesterday was some people think he's coloring it.
Oh, it is dark.
Yeah, very dark. Yeah. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, it might be genetics.
unlikely.
I don't know about that one.
He doesn't want to be a silver fox.
Well, he'd be quite a silver fox, too,
he's
wouldn't
not gonna,
he?
He's not going to look distinguished then.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, too bad.
He'll have a little bit of the salt.
Close out that youthful glow. You know, it reminds me, I was reading about a comedian who was an Intel, he claimed he was an Intel CEO, and he, on 9/11, decided to become a comedian, and he's a stand-up. He runs around telling people he's 35 years old. He's actually 55.
Wow.
You know the story, Mark?
No, who is it?
I can't think of his name. I'll find out, though. And he gets in fights with comedians all the time.
That's his shtick?
Yeah, and claiming he's 35. He's quoted constantly as a millennial in stories.
Really?
Oh my God.
Yeah, all over the place, and they have... they've compared stories where he would be like different ages.
Oh,
same
yeah,
year
yeah.
based on all these different stories.
Right.
There he is.
Who is he?
Steve Ranazzisi.
That guy, the guy who lied about the 9
Yeah, he's lied about
9/11 thing.
Oh, wait. Is that the right guy?
He's on is he on the league?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hold on. Is this the guy that lies about his age though?
But he's really 55. He doesn't look it.
Doesn't seem like the name to me.
That's
maybe it's him. I don't know.
That's the guy who claimed he was involved in the towers and really wasn't.
Yeah,
or he
maybe,
had some.
No, this guy didn't. He didn't lie about 9/11. But he on 9/11 he decided to be a comedian because I don't know whatever reason. But he was an Intel employee. Are you found me yet, Mark?
Are you talking about Dan Nanen?
Thank you. That's
former Intel engineer now makes millions as a comedian. The fact that he's 20 years older is the least weird part of the story.
Huh.
Yes.
The title is The Media's Favorite Millennial is 55 Years Old.
Oh. Now a secret's out. Who blew it?
A lot of people. A ton of people figured it out. People have been badgering about it for years, and he claims his birth certificate is wrong. I mean, it's just so dumb.
Wow.
It's one of those things that everyone knows. But you know what I wanted to mention off the top today is that Ryan Seacrest has broken his silence.
What?
Regarding Mariah Carey.
He has.
Really? Yes.
Well, this is a tricky situation for him because he, you know, hosted the show, but I believe he's also the producer of her reality
show. Yes.
And he's the Dick Clark Productions guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
I mean.
Is
that his company?
And perhaps
not his company. He's RSP.
Oh.
Maybe that's why.
RSP.
He has broken his silence by saying that he didn't see her performance.
Bullshit!
He was on the other side of doing something else, and so he acts as if it's not available to watch, too.
You can't get away from it!
No, I'm not kidding. He tries to suggest that that he really can't say anything because he didn't see the performance.
But wait a sec. There were other people there that could say, oh, man.
No, I know. It's the lamest thing.
You just missed what happened there, Ryan.
He was on...
Can't we Rickroll him by sending it to him and he opens it up and there it is?
Yeah. No, that's a great idea. Wait, why is that called Rickrolling? Oh, Rick Astley?
Rick Astley.
That's all he said about it?
I know. Pretty much, yeah, that he didn't really see it. And, of course, he feels bad about it and how hard it is to perform at Times Square. That's the other thing.
Oh, what a pussy.
So he's really backing her up without saying she's right.
It's so hard. I haven't seen anybody else have that much trouble.
No, I've never seen anyone have a problem.
Every
actually.
Year.
No, he just basically proved once again what an absolute complete and utter pussy he is.
He is.
And the fact that he really has nothing to say.
Well, it took him 5 days to craft that, though.
Well, it was his first morning show, I think, on his L.A. show. So, of course, people were trained. Who, by the way, what jackass in the media would be trained on his morning show to hear the incredible comments he would have on the story?
He's syndicated in like 130 stations all over the country.
Why? God, I'm so jealous.
Was he ever?
I know.
Who did Guy Gordon take over for on WJR?
Michael Savage.
Oh, that's
Savage
right.
Nation.
Okay.
Guy Gordon's got a radio gig?
Yeah, Guy Gordon is
blew
on the
off
radio.
DIV for it.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't think they were going to blow him out either.
Well, his contract was up. They wanted him to come back, but he told them to pound sand / salt.
It was a chance to have act three of the media for Guy Gordon. How many guys have a chance to have a third act at age 58?
Pound salt. Pound sand.
Hey, good, more power to him, man.
I hate cliches.
He sounded, did you read the article today that Ruben wrote on him?
Yeah.
He sounded, did you get the, did you feel he's a little pissed that Gattaca came back and took the talk show from him during the day?
Yeah.
If he'd be pissed too. I back Gordon 100% on that.
By the way, that show, Gattaca's show, does it go right through you or what? I mean, have you ever found yourself going, God, that's a really strong, I mean, I really want to give that some thought. Those guys are really hitting it hard today.
But it doesn't have to be. It's local, and they'll get some local commercials, and it costs nothing to produce.
I'm just stunned at what a, it's just air.
It is, yeah.
It's chewing the true definition of chewing up scenery in my eyes. But I would have thought because Jason Carr's on, Jason would want to, you know, Jason did a great job at Fox 2, did well on that morning show. I mean, he is really miscast badly, in my opinion.
Yeah.
He usually has something funny.
Yeah.
But it's you're right. He's doing 10% of what he was capable of.
I think Chuck Gattaca, is he maybe one of the more overrated? I mean, I don't mean to really totally lean on Chuck, the Chucker. He couldn't be a nicer guy, but.
He's pretty cheerful.
Of course, he's had some memorable performances with the Super Singers.
Oh, that's where his value truly is. Yeah, except they haven't done it in years.
4th of July, he's done a tremendous job. And he's so close to Carmen.
It's
and,
wonderful.
You know, they're such a tight team there.
Well, they got a lot of time to hang out together now.
You know, Sminty, I think you might have missed the show Sminty was on.
I talked to him once. Yeah, I was here.
Were you here?
Uh-huh.
When he was talking about that Chuck came back from the ministry because it didn't pan out financially?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty strong statement from Sminty there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he implied that, I hope I'm not misquoting John, that he in his opinion, that it was about the money.
Yeah, it wasn't as lucrative as he thought it was going to be.
Not enough in the plate?
Wow. Not as much as he may have expected. Mm-mm. He thought it would be a...
Wow. Wow.
Sorry.
But he may have guessed. The last person I recall who went into religion to make money might have been L. Ron Hubbard. Because he was a science fiction writer, and he did. He thought starting a religion was a way to make a lot of money. And
there's a lot of people that go into religion to make money.
I discovered one person who actually made money out of Scientology before they became Scientology, instead of paying it.
Ooh.
Which is my friend Dee, who sold for one of the radio stations that they wanted to buy Dianetics commercials on.
Oh, cool.
And
did she get a free book?
Yeah, yeah.
Did she get a free audit?
She said, and I don't think she'd mind me quoting her here, that in this case, she didn't have time to read Dianetics because she's too busy partying.
Yeah.
So that alcohol saved her from Scientology.
Yeah. She could be deep. She could be an OT at least five by now.
She'd never believe any of that, but I know, yeah.
Maybe with the booze.
Well,
it's a good story.
But she's, you know, she kind of gives booze credit for dodging that bullet.
Someone else has broken their silence about Mariah Carey, by the way.
Who?
Tommy Mottola.
Oh.
Did you read that in the Post today?
He knows a lot.
He just started ragging her, the people around her, saying that she needed new people.
But I thought it was Dick Clark's fault.
My only advice is to hire more seasoned and respected professionals to surround her and help her with a career. I mean, there's like 50 exclamation points in this whole one paragraph. But the best part about it is Mariah Carey's actual manager reportedly responded, "Really? Tommy, he's a relic. Did he give you a statement from a rotary phone?" Great line.
Wow. That's really cool. Wow. Is that her female manager?
That's on the show, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a piece of work.
I want that job. Is.
Have you seen the show? TV show?
I haven't seen the show. I'm going to start watching it if I want that job, I guess.
Yeah, you should watch it if you want to get the job.
Yeah.
If you want to be your assistant, you have to be able to set up Apple TV.
I can do that because I just got one.
In any hotel in the world.
Oh, well. Yeah, I just got the new one, so I'm proficient. That's what Jay told me, that I got a job with Mariah Carey.
Mariah cannot sleep unless it's to Apple TV. It can't just be any TV show. It has to be something viewed on Apple
TV. It's a great product.
There's apparently something about the audio quality that allows her to sleep.
Really?
It's not, it's not about the shows. It's the actual Apple TV network that makes her go to sleep.
Huh. Wow, soothing.
At least that's what they suggest.
How insane.
Kind of crazy.
The impersonator, the Mariah impersonator at the San Antonio Spurs, that bit was sort of funny today, though, right? The mascot.
Oh, it
was a quick reaction.
Yeah, I like that people are ragging on her. She's taking a lot of crap. There was another basketball arena that was doing.
They had a lip sync.
Lip sync cam, instead of the kiss cam.
Was that the war? It might have been the Warriors.
Yeah, it was, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she'll play that venue again, or? Yeah, she went.
Oh,
she's not going to be butt hurt by this because she just keeps going and making money.
There's a lot of butt to hurt.
There is.
How did she have that packed in that leotard?
I don't
know. Is she one of these people that is not aware that she's kind of heavy?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the deal with that? Because she's 47 years old.
She's got to be aware. Come on. All those fat people are aware when you're
out of it. She has guys carrying her on stage, remember?
Yeah. It's true.
But generally, you know, as you are considered, because early in her career, even though it's really her voice that's carried her, she certainly believed herself to be hot.
Yeah.
And I think
at
a lot
one
of people
point she was, yeah.
considered her hot. The new boobs were a big asset, definitely. She does love them. She'll show them off anywhere, anytime. But she's definitely put on some pounds. And instead of, you know, the graceful aging, we're talking about that.
Yeah.
When females do not age with any grace, like Madonna, you know, she seems like she still has to be the hottest chick, which is ludicrous at 60 or whatever old she is.
Why doesn't Mariah, why didn't she wear a dress? Why is she wearing a singlet? I mean, she have a wrestling tournament to get to?
I mean,
so fat.
Honestly, just wear a dress. That'll cover up a lot of that.
I know. She looks, though, she looks like a sausage in that.
Yeah.
Both legs kind of.
Yeah.
And that sounds catty as hell, but
no, I think you nailed it.
But the dancers with the feathers
look like sausage funniest. Being pushed through cheesecloth.
Yeah.
Did you like the dancers with the feather routine?
Feathers.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Well, this dance is still the best.
Oh God! Yeah, the holding the jacket and it's so stupid.
Wow, who choreographed that move?
Mariah.
Oh, she probably did, yeah.
Right.
And I still can't get past the fact that the dancers had no problem whatsoever. Their routine was spot on. Everything was fine.
They're like happy.
They just kind of start. Yeah, I know they were really trying to make it look like everything was okay. And her best line was, "Yeah, this was number one."
I know.
She wasn't singing it. There's just backing vocals playing in the music, and she's telling you it's the number one song. Wow. So why don't you sing it? And did you notice that when she occasionally did sing a line, she knew where to sing the line?
That's
weird.
Yeah, she just wanted to lip sync it, and it wasn't the track to lip sync to. It was a backing vocal to sing to.
But then when she could lip sync it, she dropped the mic.
Well, she was just being a pissy bitch at that point.
True. No, she was being a good sport.
Did she ever do carpool karaoke?
Mariah?
Yeah, she did, yeah.
She did?
Yeah.
Mariah did?
How did she function on that?
That's crazy. Well,
good point.
very much.
Clark Productions wasn't in charge.
Right.
That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had monitors in the front of the car.
They did. She had her ears in, too.
I mentioned before the show, Christine Brennan with USA Today is demanding an end to Brent Musburger's lengthy and storied career because of his poor response to Joe Mixon, the Oklahoma running back, who was playing in the Sugar Bowl. And first of all, I mean, isn't it obvious that whoever's doing that game, even though I'm sure people are saying, well, I wonder how they're going to handle the Joe Mixon story. And he did punch a female who had lightly shoved him.
Yeah, broke her jaw.
Which reminded me of when my little brother and I used to get in fights. You know, when he hit you and you hit him like 20 times as hard. Or Trump, who always went close to the insults
end
Trump.
Of that.
Yeah, well, sorry. But anyway, when you have the game, yeah, you have to mention, I suppose. You're supposed
Absolutely,
to talk
sure.
about it. But I don't expect the strongest statement to come from the guy doing play-by-play for the network that's carrying that event.
No, but you have to mention. Isn't that usually what the sideline reporter is for, just to mention it, right? I mean, I give him credit for actually referencing it, because nobody talks about stuff.
Yeah, I could see them throwing it to somebody or having a package on it before the game just leaving it alone during the game.
I noticed Jesse Palmer, formerly of The Bachelor, who was doing color for that game, was no help to Brent.
Did he say anything?
No.
Okay, here's what Christy Brennan is so unhappy about. Monday Night Sugar Bowl broadcast, he repeatedly and aggressively minimized the college football player's brutal attack on a woman, a punch so devastating it broke four bones in her face. I didn't realize it broke four bones. I knew she broke her orbital bone, which is bad enough.
Jaw.
I mean, certainly. Joe Mixon's assault on Amelia Molitor in the summer of 2014 was captured on video. It's been seen hundreds of thousands of times. Have you seen it, by the way, Trudy? I know it's a sports story, but...
No, I haven't. No, I'm okay. Sorry. But I heard you guys talk about it before, so I'm visualizing.
Basically, something... I mean, this is somebody he did not know, and why were they at odds?
She blew smoke in their face and allegedly said something to them outside. And
why were they even put together in a negative...
Wasn't it at a club?
No, it was outside a sandwich shop, which as you shall have thought, their menu was delicious looking. I don't know if you remember that or not, but I actually looked their menu up. It looked great.
She did end up shoving him lightly, like, you know, get away from me. And when she did that, he did one of these like fake punches and then wound up and, I mean, hit her the full force, you know, a perfect punch, quote unquote.
Hammer.
Right in her, you know, right there. Just smoked her. Broke four bones, apparently.
Problem is he denied it. For a long time, too. Never apologized.
But it's on camera. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, the camera, that Jeez. You know why it got released?
Security cam. Yeah, here it is.
The judge said it should be released, and then his defense released it.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's quite a punch.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, I didn't hear much about this until just recently.
Oh, really?
I really didn't remember the story. I didn't know much about it. It wasn't a big deal like the Ravens back.
Well, because the video just came out now, but it was a deal at the beginning of the year because he wasn't suspended. Actually 2 years ago because he wasn't suspended after the allegations came out. And the story's just kind of hung around thanks to her civil lawsuit against him. And that's why.
And now the videotape.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is funny how, well, not funny, but 2 years after the thing. It was since 2014 when this happened?
Once again, just like with Ray Rice,
video is everything.
Everything.
Yeah, it does.
And yet people will still deny what happens in a video sometimes.
So you are looking at live, Brent, at one of the worst things a college football player has ever done, and this is what you did. After calling the video very troubling to see, you charge right into the kind of full-throated defensive Mixon one would have expected from his attorney. We've talked to the coaches, Brent said. They all swear that the young man is doing fine. Folks, he's just one of the best, and let's hope, given a second chance by Bob Stoops in Oklahoma, let's hope that this young man makes the most of his chance and goes on to have a career in the National Football League.
Wow. Jesus.
It's certainly a bit trivial.
Yeah.
There was no mention of...
Ryan Seacrest answer, if I've ever heard one.
There was no mention of Molitor, how she's doing, if she's okay, what her career might be like, which I think that's a little... I mean, is it really going to be a lot of discussion of her career?
Sounds bad to say, but she's not playing in the game.
No.
And I don't know what else... This is Christine Brennan. I don't know what else she's written, but has she written about the fact that Bob Stoops didn't suspend him and then comes back and says, well, if it was... today, he would be, you know, kicked off the team, as if, you know, violence against women is taken so much more serious today as opposed to 2 years ago. That makes no sense.
No, a lot of it doesn't make sense. That's why I think
this is anger projected at the wrong person.
Yeah, to lay this all on Brent Musburger seems a little silly. And so anyway, there was social media response to his comments, very negative, which means nothing to me. I mean, based on the Steve Martin comment about the Steve Martin tweet about Carrie Fisher, which was so stupid that there was response. I mean, it's just starting to make me puke. There was no mention of Montana Hushman. So it was all football, all boys will be boys, all business as usual. After hours of preparation, 77-year-old Musburger was still so unprepared, he addressed a vital 21st century issue with the way only he could with the 1950s answer. The social media outrage over Musburger's comments is so overwhelming, he came back in the third quarter to give another try.
That was really awkward. Did you hear that when he came back?
They've got the actual transcript here. Musburger came out with guns blazing. Apparently, some people were very upset when I wished this young man well at the next level. Let me make something perfectly clear. What he did with this young lady was brutal, uncalled for. He apologized. He was tearful. He got a second chance. He got a second chance from Bob Stoops. I happen to pull for people with second chances, okay? Let me make it abundantly clear. I hope he has a wonderful career and he teaches people with that brutal, violent video, okay? Second down and 9. Oh, boy.
Wow.
I mean, is this guy, look, I don't like what he did, but is he never supposed to play his chosen profession again? Seriously.
No, I would assume somebody will draft him.
Any criminal. I wonder if Christine Brennan is for reform in the prison system. Or does she want one thing and you're locked up forever? But once again, this is anger.
We talked about this yesterday.
Person.
You know, with this Bo Bice thing, and we came back to Lauren Podell and the anchor in Pittsburgh. You know, one stupid comment and you can never work again. And in this case, I don't know what she wants to happen to this running back, but she wants Brent Musburger to be fired. She wants him done.
I'm not for lauding Mixon. I think he's kind of a dick. But that being said, what did Musburger say wrong there?
Oh, he didn't say anything. He sanitized it.
He didn't
so
say
much.
Anything about the girl and her poor circumstances.
She's not playing.
I guess. I think he certainly could have been a little more descriptive about how bad the
brutal
behavior
was. That's fair. Okay.
I don't know why it's so important to Brent Musburger that this guy plays in the NFL. I mean, it's
a little weird.
Does he know this guy? I mean, is there something personal?
Yeah, it was announced today, by the way, that he is going pro.
Oh, wonderful. I wonder how early do you think he'll be drafted?
It's a good running back class, so not terribly early. Are you implying that NFL teams are going to think about his background?
Oh, I think it might cost him a few spots, a few slots.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
The NFL? Oh,
I don't know. I think if he can, if he fits into a team, they'll take him.
I mean, he's got this other thing with, this was after this happened, which makes it worse in a way. He ripped up a parking ticket and threw it in some chick's face, the parking meter maid, which we also talked about briefly. I didn't even know about that story.
I sort of supported that movement. It didn't hurt her, right?
I have a complaint.
No, she was not injured.
Threw it in her face.
I have a complaint about meters. You know how you can pay now with your phone or whatever, and a lot of the new meters. How come you don't get a refund when you use under the time?
Hey, really? You're right.
Or why don't you check in when you get to the meter, and then when you leave, check out, and then you pay the right amount?
Yeah, seems. Well, then it wouldn't
fair.
Get. They wouldn't get all the extra revenue.
Of course,
obviously leave.
And you wouldn't get that joy.
And also, you wouldn't get that free 40 minutes.
That's what
when
I mean.
You pull
that joy when you pull them and go, hey, I got 38 minutes.
I know. Why does that feel so good?
Because you save 20 cents.
I know, but it's only 20 cents. I mean,
I don't know. Because you don't have to walk up to the
meter. Overwrought. You know, then what pisses me off about Christine Brennan is then she goes on to go back to this whole stupid thing in 2013 when Brett got a hard on over the Alabama quarterback.
Oh, really?
Which was. You know, he took a lot of shit for that at the time. Do you remember that, Trudy?
Yeah, I do. I remember.
AJ McCarron's horror.
Can we find that audio? I thought it was funny to listen to.
Well, this that's the second time. Cause
he's talking about Catherine Webb. Brent Musburger talking about Catherine
AKA,
Webb. AKA. Which game was it?
AKA AJ McCarron's horror.
Yeah. AJ McCarron's horror. That's right. I forgot about that. Because no one cares what her name is. Her mom was pretty, too. Anyway, she was. Her mom said there's you.
That was AJ McCarron's mom.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right. That's mm-hmm. right. During the national championship football game in January 13, Musburger couldn't stop himself from praising the looks. He couldn't stop himself.
He did it three times in the game.
Maybe he thought his mic was off. Or
DC went back to it twice.
Back into yeah. the game. Now, when you're a quarterback at Alabama, you see that lovely lady there. She does go to Auburn. I uh-huh. admit that. But she also, Miss Alabama, and that's A.J. McCarron's girlfriend, okay? And right there on the right is Dee Dee Bonner. That's A.J.'s mom. Wow, I'm telling you, quarterbacks, you get all the good-looking women.
Herb Street's
so
awkward.
Wow, A.J.'s doing some things right down in
Tuscaloosa. So if you're a youngster in Alabama, start getting the football out and throw it around the backyard.
What's so horrible about it? Was that horrible? I mean, can we just not live with that?
Nothing's horrible.
Not only that, but she's a model. She's that's like saying she's really good at her job.
Trudy laughed. I laughed. Joe laughed.
Well, let's go.
It was funny.
It was sort of a nice little ending. He put a bow on the end.
Remember the
get
first
out there and practice, boys.
It was lovely. Yeah, it was an inspiration to young men.
Yeah, he wasn't saying McCarron's entitled to a beautiful woman. He earned her.
Yeah, he earned that ass.
Remember the first time he did this was with Jen Sturger at the Florida State game.
Oh, our
just
girlfriend
talking
Jen
about
Sturger
it last week. Yeah.
What did he say? Is that
Sturger,
audio? Is
yeah,
famous?
That's on there. Yeah. But it's really quick, but he's...
Jay, you want to go back for a girlfriend, Jen Sturger?
It's something along the
lines. Favre girl. Might be under Favre girl.
Favre girl.
There we go.
1,500 red-blooded Americans just decided to apply to Florida State.
Take a breather.
That's all he said about it.
Florida State will take this, Gary, and looking down the road...
He's implying that they got more admissions because Jen Sturger's so hot.
Is it and so awful? I mean,
they probably did.
What are we coming to? My God, it's just such bullshit. I'm sorry, can't point out a pretty girl?
Isn't she jealous that
apparently not.
He has TV and she's relegated to a paper?
That could be. Oh, actually, you know what? They both went to Northwestern, which she points out twice.
Oh.
And
really?
So this is a very painful column to write, but one that must be written. And she also went to Brent for combat, but Brent was unavailable or unable to return her calls.
It doesn't do radio or papers.
I don't do radio.
Oh, that's right. During the national championship game, Musburger couldn't stop himself from praising the looks of Catherine Webb, the then girlfriend of Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron. The comments were embarrassing and totally out of place, and ESPN later apologized, which is so typical of ESPN being the pussies they are to actually apologize for that. Who are these people who actually complain about this stuff? That's what I can't quite figure out. Who, like the Steve Martin tweets about Carrie Fisher. When I met her, she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen.
Fact.
I later learned that she was also smart and funny.
What is wrong with that, though? I don't understand.
Because he didn't mention smart and funny first.
Pussy. But he didn't know she was smart and funny. He knew she was beautiful when he met
her. Right. So how could it have happened in the other order? I guess he should have revised history.
That'd be a little weird if he goes, oh, this girl's really smart. Oh, my God, she's beautiful, too. Like, that makes no sense.
But seriously, who are the people that are so enraged?
It's Twitter. Twitter doesn't count.
But who is it on Twitter? Who is? I mean, I'm
trolls.
Just trying to get like a
social justice
sketch
warriors.
Of this person.
Yeah, they're just trolls. People who try to stir shit up.
Yeah.
So they're not really upset about it?
No, I think they just do that for their own entertainment. Many of them do.
But you get a lot of them out there, too. It's like, that's what my ex-boyfriend said to me once.
Oh, so
they're carrying a lifelong grudge.
One issue, yeah.
Yeah, they're carrying a lifelong grudge.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be on Twitter, then, because you're going to see a lot of bad things.
That's a tweet for one. Right.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. He apparently got so much shit, he took the tweet down.
I thought that was crafted well, like a very, you know, I mean, he's a comedian, and he has good comic timing, and he's like, she's beautiful.
It
and then he found out she's smart and funny.
Yeah, it seemed thoughtful. I mean, it's obvious he really liked her.
BS. What about Danny Trevejo, who had those buns? He wore her cinnamon buns on his head in a tribute tweet.
Oh, did he get shit for that?
No. Who gives Danny Trejo shit?
I know.
Well,
those
like he'll kill you.
Freak me out.
Who was the Cinnabon place that got crapped?
Because
they put something about her
best buns.
Yeah, her buns.
Yeah.
You always have the best buns in the galaxy or something like that.
Was that so horrible?
Are they just mad that a corporation is trying to cash in on the death of...
You know, sorry if I offended you. I didn't know you were so sensitive. Sorry if I offended you.
How would she feel about it, though? Wouldn't she sort of
She would
have
laughed, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
She certainly would have been upset at Steve Martin. I find that so hard to believe. She had a great sense of humor. Ugh. Janet Jackson, interesting, on Inside Edition today. Mm. They were teasing that they were going to do something on the mystery child Janet had 26 years ago.
Really?
Remember when she married James DeBarge?
Yes.
And of course, Joseph.
Of El DeBarge fame.
Yes.
El DeBarge fame.
Joe Jackson and Catherine did not approve. And so they somehow, I don't know if they drove up in a van and carried her away or what the deal was.
It sounded like that's what happened.
It really did.
Kidnapped her back.
And then the rumor was always that she turned out to be pregnant and she was spirited away somewhere to drop the kid who was then put up for adoption or something.
Mm-hmm.
But there was rumors that there was a kid that she had and she was young. She was like 20 or 23,
it's
24.
It's Rebe's daughter. Whoever Rebe raised is allegedly Janet.
Yeah. So anyway, the daughter of DeBarge, his daughter from another relationship, was on Inside Edition, and she was talking like she really is in some kind of a search for her half-sister. She believes that there is a half-sister out there.
Really?
Can't they just ask Rebe where she is?
Well, that would be the easy way, but you know how the Jackson family is. They tend to close ranks about these things.
What does it matter now? What's the over-under
on... I know. Who fucking cares?
What's the over-under on Janet losing the baby weight?
Wow.
I mean, she packed down, 100 pounds?
She'd have to go on tour to lose it.
What? She did?
Did you see that picture of her?
She was gigantic. She was wearing Muslim garb, which is not flattering to one's weight, in my opinion.
Gowned because she was trying to hide it?
No, she didn't go Muslim to look like she's... to hide the weight.
Oh,
I think she actually
she's
converted.
Devout.
Yeah, she married a Muslim.
Oh, wow.
Dude.
Maybe Mariah Carey should.
Dude.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of Muslim people called dude. But she did. She married a Muslim dude.
Wow. So she had a caftan.
Yeah, it was caftan-esque, caftan. Definitely.
Hmm. What if the baby is a Jackson? It has rights to Michael. To the fortune, because the family owns that whole thing, right?
It would be the niece, yeah. I don't know how much the niece is going to get in all this.
As Janet Jackson basks in the glow of her newborn baby boy at age 50, mystery surrounds long-standing claims that she has a long-lost secret daughter.
Mm-hmm. Only she knows the truth.
Kristania DeBarge is keenly aware of the rumors. She's the 26-year-old daughter of Janet's first husband, James DeBarge, who's said to be the father of the mystery child. In an exclusive interview with Inside Edition, Kristania, who's a singer herself,
Kristania?
Says reports about the existence of Janet Jackson's secret daughter could be real.
Do you have a secret sister?
I believe I do have a sister out there.
Janet Jackson was 18 when she married DeBarge in 1984. In an interview with Inside Edition in 2000, DeBarge wouldn't confirm nor deny the birth of a daughter with Janet.
There's got to be a daughter who won't confirm or deny.
When she's ready for you to find out.
I'm sure he feels betrayed. I'm sure he feels sad. I'm sure he feels disappointed. I'm sure he feels like he was robbed of that relationship with his daughter. But at the same time, I know my dad loves Janet till this day. And he doesn't want to hurt her.
According to published reports, Janet's alleged daughter was raised by her older sister, Rebe Jackson,
Rhythm
in Las
Nation.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Other reports claim the child was placed in foster care.
If you find your sister, what would you say to her?
I would say, I would love to get to know you. And, you know, where have you been my whole life?
Kristania says she's why the baby was given up.
I know that her family had a huge influence
on her.
They
hated your dad.
And,
that's why,
you know, if she
thought he was
pregnant, the only thing that I think of
and he sucked at music,
and they were right.
She still had a very long career ahead of her, and they didn't want anything to hinder that.
Kristania says the time has come.
Kristania, I can't
out.
Get over that name.
I think for me, I'm going to continue
about Kristen?
Research,
right?
And I'm
Kristina.
Continue to,
exactly.
to try to find this person.
This person.
Once again, great reporting, Jim Murray.
So there you have it, the latest on the Janet Jackson mystery child. What's with the Jackson family? I love the way they have like their own version of Sharia law, but it's Jackson law. Janet doesn't have any brats. So and Janet Joe's doesn't law, marry man. This guy. Yeah, it is Joe's law.
Jackson Rhea or something like that. Rhea.
Well, Michael doesn't have any brats Jackson, either. Rhea.
No, he doesn't.
No.
And who said they were going to spill the truth on
Arnie, him? Conrad Murray is going to blow. Dick. What a dick thing to do anyway.
He is the persistent thorn in the side of Michael Jackson, isn't he? He just will not give it up.
Literally
killed him. Now he's revealing they're not his brats.
I know.
Lay off the guy. You fucking killed him.
And we already know they're not his kids.
Yeah, because they are the dead ringers for the dermatology dad.
Yeah, of course.
Arnie.
But doesn't it bother you that they're constantly paraded around? I mean, they're in the media all the time because they're Michael Jackson's kids, but they're not his kids. So stop the media coverage because they're not to be cared about.
I know.
Unless they do something on their own based on their own genetics, that would be really cool. And I hope they do well, but they're not worth watching all the time.
They really don't have their dad's talents, though, because I saw somebody touting, well, so-and-so, which Prince doesn't have his dad's talents for singing. I'm like, no, he has his dad's talent for dermatology, maybe, though. Check that out. How good is he at zits? Facelifts.
We still don't know Blanket's the one we don't know about, right? Because Blanket came from Mexico.
Yeah, Blanket just materialized.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where the hell Blanket came from. But Joe Jackson at one point said something in fact on Larry King, I think it was. He said, "Well, these kids seem to have a lot of talent. You know, they do have the Jackson gene." And he was serious. Like these kids are going to be musical. You know, they're going to have the.
Are you saying they're going to be dancers? What are you saying, Joe?
Well, they've got Michael genes. That's what you know.
Are you saying that they're a size 32 waist? Is that what you're saying?
Larry.
Wearing his jeans?
Larry.
He was implying that they had musical talent, as if they had, you know, been practicing or something.
Right.
Like the way he used to run the troops when they were little.
Yeah. They inherited nothing from him. Because they're not his children!
Actually, none of them... how old? Prince is, what, 20, 21?
Is he that old now? Wow.
He's like 20, isn't he? Because Paris is 17 or 8, old enough to want to commit suicide. That's about all I've heard about her.
Do you know who her godfather is? There's Prince? A picture of her. No, Paris.
Oh, Paris.
Godfather in Us magazine.
I have no idea.
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, my God.
As if her life could be any stranger.
Oh. Was there a picture of
Paris
him?
Is 18 and Prince is 19.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Debbie Rowe got knocked up back to back, huh? Blankets. Wow. Blankets Jackson was pounding away.
Youngest.
She was fertile, and Michael was just nailing her left and right.
Yeah. Oh, Debbie Rowe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their mother. God, she's a good mother.
She's a hot chick, too.
She is. She's. I mean, if
ass.
I had to pick out a woman for Michael Jackson, that's exactly who I would select. She's just, I mean, they're like peas in a pod.
Yes. He has a type.
It's true love.
Wait, Debbie Rowe, I'm trying to remember, was she Arnold Klein's
secretary.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So basically they said, you know, there's a fat chick that works in the office who'd probably do anything. She's such a huge fan, you know, so why don't we just get some semen in her and we'll call him yours.
Oh, gross.
I mean, I'm just trying to imagine how that thing goes down. I'm sure she signed a bunch of papers.
Well, that's probably why it's all in-house. He knew her, you know, Klein knew
right.
her.
Right. So it was real easy. And then when they split up, you know, as if they were such a hot couple. Wasn't it funny how, I mean, there was no fight for the kids whatsoever. It was like, oh, of course he's getting the kids.
Yeah, right. Of course.
Who would want him, I mean, as a single parent, Michael Jackson, to raise three kids? I mean, is that really a good idea?
No, after seeing what was in that house in the aftermath, no.
Well, that Martin Bashir.
Oh, yeah.
That story. Oh, my God. Was that freaky? Him feeding that little blanket remember with his leg going a million miles an hour?
And almost dropping him off the balcony.
And talking about how wonderful it is to be in a bed with a 13-year-old boy.
It's really charming.
It's a natural thing in the world.
Hey, man, he's got all the footage. It's all right. He's got all the footage.
Yeah, milk and cookies and getting that hot air balloon. The next day.
It's really charming.
Hey, could you put the you in there so Jackson could coax these?
I'm going to sleep. I tucked them in. I put a little music on.
So sickening.
A little story time. I read a book.
This is
very sweet. Put the fireplace on. Give them hot milk.
You
know, we have little cookies. It's very charming.
It's very charming.
Hot milk with juicy juice.
Oh, boy. God, that was freaky, all that. Yeah, Jesus juice. He was a, I mean, when you put all that stuff together, what a, I can't get over that he dies, and it's just incredibly total reverence. In fact, any mention of anything regarding, you know, the mistreatment of kids or molestation was, I'm trying to remember what, because I think it was Al Sharpton who said something about the, you know, the media, evil media, and, you know, lies. And it was not, there was so much there.
The whole Bashir documentary is online. I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
I just jumped ahead to, where was it, about 9 minutes or so. And Jackson pulls up in a miniature car holding an umbrella, and he opens the door for Bashir to get in. What?
Roll a little bit of that sucker.
Yeah.
It's always a good viewing.
He has statues of little boys on his lawn.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Am I good?
No little girls statues?
To me,
represents something that's very special in my heart.
You know, oh, Peter Pan.
Youth, childhood.
We use this as an
never
ID.
Growing up, magic, flying. Everything I think that children... And wonderment and magic. What it's all
so
about.
So redundant, Jackson.
Wonderment.
And to me, I just have never, ever grown out of loving that or thinking that is very special.
Do you identify with him?
Totally.
You don't want to grow up?
No, I am Peter Pan.
you're not.
You're Michael Jackson.
I'm Peter Pan in my heart.
Oh. And he points to his
nose. There he is. Oh, it's a Batman.
The image is a problem for Jackson. He says the color-changing skin
up in a little miniature Batman mobile
has made him allergic to the sun.
Holding an umbrella. Oh yeah,
so
he's allergic
shielded
to the sun.
By his umbrella, he took me to his most secret.
Not allergic to the sun.
I call it my giving tree because it inspires me. I love climbing trees in general, but this tree I love the most because I climb up high and I look down on its branches, and it gives me. I just love it. So many ideas. I've written so many of my songs.
Somebody had
tree.
To put him up there and get him back down.
Climb that tree.
Yeah. Will you be there?
I'm sure they have a cherry picker available 24/7, 365.
Yeah.
You're actually saying that you climb that tree.
No.
How far do you climb up it?
All the way to that.
Do it now.
All the way to that. Kind of spot up
prove it.
Kind of like a deck or it's like a bed.
Yeah, let's see.
You want to climb it now?
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Hold the umbrella.
Yeah. Good call.
Oh, he did. I forgot that he did.
And when you've climbed it, let's see how inspiring
it is.
Where's the umbrella? He doesn't have the umbrella.
Bashir's holding it now.
I wonder what happened to the umbrella holder that they used to take.
No way.
I gotta tell you, he's pretty good at climbing that tree.
Martin, are you coming?
I never yeah. My giving tree.
I take that back.
C-U-M-I-N-G.
Gross.
And Martin is actually coming.
Oh, he's climbing it.
My
yeah.
Shoes slipping.
Come on.
What a playful moment.
Is it safe?
Of
course. I'm frightened.
I like how the editor put his music behind.
You don't climb trees?
No one does!
Oh,
shut up, Jackson. Don't act like adults, 50 years old, climb trees.
Hey, what do you guys mean? What do you guys mean? You don't climb trees? Something's wrong with you guys.
Oh, my God.
This footage of him just sitting on a fucking tree.
Oh, there he is with the umbrella again. Back on the ground.
It must be great to have been rich and like just high, just baked, 24/7 every day.
Forever a child.
Well,
water balloon fights and climbing trees.
Water balloon fights and climbing
those
trees.
My favorite.
Yeah. Hey, by the way.
Don't you prefer making love or going to a concert or
making love?
Love.
You prefer? You really mean that? That you prefer climbing trees and having a balloon
fight?
Yeah, water balloon fight.
And you prefer that to anything else?
Well. As my pastime fun, you know, not, can't compare it to performing. Other people play football, basketball, I like to climb trees.
No, you're 50.
Oh my God.
50-year-olds don't have water balloon fights, you jackass.
I found a really good cover tune. You guys were telling me, you know, how you cover tunes.
Uh-huh.
And this is totally original from Pan, the movie, you know, the one with... with Wolverine.
Skeptical.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Yes.
As Hook. It's Nevermind's Smells Like Teen Spirit. And they're all singing, like little kids in Neverland are singing it to him. And then he, like.
Really?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's great. That
it's
movie.
It's really a good cover?
I I thought it was kind of cool.
Wait,
you
but
know?
Isn't a kid singing it?
Because,
by the way, why were you watching Pan?
Well, it was hungover.
And you're too lazy to get up and turn the remote.
New Year's Day, and I was hoping something would put me to sleep, and then this came on. I was like, "Hey, what's that song? It's familiar." And they're, you know, they're kind of like they're coming in on the ship. Michael would love this.
Oh, and, yeah, he would. The flying ship.
And then I'm like, "What's that song?"
But that is an odd use of that song.
It is. And then I looked it up, and they were talking that the producers wanted to do something with kind of a twist. It takes a while to get into this, but...
This is a very strange cover.
Isn't it?
Hello, 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 hello.
Who's that big black dude?
He's been, I don't know what his name is. He's been in a couple of things.
He's the pirate all pirates fear. The original.
And then check out Hugh Jackman, how weird he looks in this.
Oh, wow.
And I forget what is the
Doesn't this chronologically take place like way before Nirvana?
Never mind. It's cool.
It's not bad. It's different.
That's really different, I must say.
You're humoring me, right?
No.
Check him out. Hey.
Here we are now. Entertain us. Here we are now. Entertain us.
Hey.
That was a bold choice by the producer of that movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The director, I should say.
We know how every movie trailer uses the, like, the chorus or the choir singing the song. Like, remember The Social Network used it for I'm a Creep?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Right.
But that group has a ton of covers, which I kind of like them all.
Yeah. And so I started looking up covers that day, and that's kind of how I...
Any other funky covers?
Pulled through. I like the one that I really like is Gloria Gaynor's song by Cake.
Oh,
I will
survive.
Yeah, that's a pretty
that's a
cool
cover.
Oh, the Cake version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, that's quite.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
when something is completely
different.
Turned upside down, I like that.
Yeah,
no doubt.
I like this.
No doubt. Oh, and Johnny Cash did Depeche Mode.
Oh, yeah.
Personal.
Jesus. I didn't like that so well, but.
What's the other cover he does?
Hurt.
That's right.
By
That was the more popular one, wasn't it?
Nine Inch Nails, yeah. Yeah, that was the
one. Well, they were both, actually,
that's
they were
a
both
lot of
very
movies.
Well liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rick Rubin, I don't know what Rick Rubin does, why he's able to get these performances out of people, but.
Oh, Rick Rubin.
There's got to be something to
he's
it.
Brilliant. If you don't wear shoes to work, I think you're. Smarter, something.
This has got to end up being in a movie trailer. It's just a badass song, anyway.
I love this song. I mean, the Mamas and Papas version, fantastic.
You don't like this version?
I'm not used to it yet.
You know the words.
I mean, it's hard to fuck this song up.
The tempo's too slow.
I think
they do it. I think they have a whole album of Metallica songs too.
Oh, really?
Here, I'll jump ahead. Maybe they're faster.
Maybe pick it up.
Yeah, pick it up. Not.
It's somber.
Some of the chicks are pretty hot, too.
What's that sound?
I'll take choice B.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just barely. Got on a nice gray January day.
Yeah.
Great song. Really any day, but... I was surprised when the Mamas and Papas went into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2000, oh, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7, somewhere in there. They sang this with John Phillips right before he died.
Oh, really?
Denny Doherty, Michelle Phillips, and one of, I think, Phillips' daughters sat in for Mama Cass. And they still sounded damn good.
Yeah?
Yeah, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame finale.
Yeah.
Were you here when we were going over the Hall of Fame,
choices
for this year?
I heard it.
What do you think of the choices?
You were pumped for Journey. I know that much.
Yeah.
They had to put Journey in.
It's about time.
Obviously, I'm not crazy about it, but they
I heard you on the real radio talking about how pumped you were for Journey.
See, didn't I say the same thing? It's about time.
Very pumped.
What is it? Journey, yes.
Yes.
Tupac.
I like Tupac.
Pearl Jam.
That's right.
Pearl Jam
had to go in.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God. Not 10cc, but
British.
What are we missing?
Who's the other? ELO.
Oh yeah. Of course. That was way overdue.
ELO.
Yeah, Jeff Lynne. I could almost see him going in by himself too.
Yeah.
With all the stuff he's produced.
Wilburys.
Yeah, Wilburys, some solo stuff, and you know, he produced George Harrison's Cloud Nine. He's produced all the Beatles,
yeah,
except John, I don't think.
Joan Baez, you know, I mean, that was my sister's generation, and I, you know, I respect what that was, but I didn't listen to that music.
Now Rogers too, so yeah, it's not the boldest class ever.
It's got Pearl Jam.
It'd be a boring show unless they get some good introductions there.
They always seem to manage to get enough people playing to make it worthwhile. Tonight, which I guess we won't be able to get till tomorrow, although actually we could put it on, is the two-hour special on the Menendez brothers, which I think is long overdue. I mean, I could watch a two-hour special on these jerks anytime just because this whole thing was so fascinating.
Why did they shoot their parents again?
Because they wanted their money, is my personal opinion. I don't know. Does anyone think they were sexually abused by the father?
No. Although, in that piece this morning,
two relatives claimed there was discussion of that.
They never said sexual abuse. They just said...
Oh, is that right?
He spanked them or something, maybe.
In the end, he was bummed because Eric is becoming a load at age 21.
Yeah, no, they were loads. They were absolute spoiled fucking brats.
They wanted the money.
And if they were being molested by the father, why did they shoot the mother?
Yeah.
What was that all about? And I think we'll see the explanation in this little piece I queued up.
Well,
from
one of the people
Today
they interviewed
show.
Said that. They screwed up by shooting their mother.
But how could they shoot the father? See, the problem is if they don't shoot the mother, they don't get the money. The mother gets all the money.
All right.
Because that was, and I'm sure they'll get into this in this two-hour special. When the parents were killed and the funeral, and of course they were, you know, they were dry-eyed, not a tear shed between either one of them. And I think even the paramedic that showed up said, yeah, it was weird. It was no emotion. There was nothing. Just flat line. You know, it was basically like they were any other minute of any other day.
Right.
Which, I don't know. I can't believe people don't act better. In that circumstance, you would think anybody would know how to act, at least try to overact your upset.
But real or fake, you don't know how you're going to react to something like that, do you?
But wouldn't you think seeing that these two murdered people would, if nothing else, would make you a little bit emotional?
You'd be in shock.
And the fact that you're trying to get away with it, they went out to a movie.
Yeah.
So they could come home and discover the bodies. What do you think you'd be going, okay, now when we come back and discover the bodies, we got to scream really loud. We got to call 911. He cries to the 911 operator.
That sounded phony.
Oh, yeah. It sounded horribly fake. But, you know, that was what they were supposed to. If they're going to sound anyway, I'd say overreact as opposed to underreact if you murdered them.
Yeah, of course.
If you didn't murder them, then who knows how you're going to act. I mean, that's up to however you act. But if you murdered someone, I would think you would overreact. Versus underreact.
Well, you act like you think you're supposed to act.
Right.
You've had the time to calculate this and think it all through. So when you think, okay, now this is, I'm going to get in the mood to cry.
Well, you'd find some way to make yourself try to act the way you think somebody would act. But the point I was trying to make was after the emotionless funeral and everything and the money is unleashed to the kids, they went on a spending rampage. You know, it was Maseratis and Jaguars and, you know, party. for the men and his bros.
How did they even get the money, though? Why would the insurance pay out when they were on trial?
I don't think. No, they weren't on trial. They weren't on trial for, I think it took, didn't take a year or so to arrest them.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They were out there on their own. Slow just down. Blowing cash. Yeah, they didn't need insurance money. They had daddy's money. Daddy had $14 million, I think.
That's right.
So they went spending crazy and were living the life of their dreams. And then I think finally the investigation determined that they had killed him. And I forgot how that broke or what changed, because, I mean, you would think there'd be something so obvious. Well, they said they never checked the cars when the
night
where
they had the gun.
The guns were in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they just figured, oh, these kids wouldn't murder their parents.
Well, they admitted prime suspects?
They admitted to it right away.
Well, when they were arrested.
Yeah, no, I know.
I forgot how that all went down. So I mean, they must have had something so busted,
substantial on them.
Leslie Abramson must have known they were incredibly guilty, because she, well, whoever cooked up that whole thing about the sexual abuse.
Yeah.
And she went, I mean, she was so demonstrative as their attorney. But anyway, should we look at the preview from?
Sure.
Yeah, a preview.
We have it on GMA?
The preview from the what did Terry Moran say he was?
The haunted Terry Moran. Yes.
Murders that shook the nation nearly three decades ago. Eric and Lyle Menendez convicted of brutally killing their parents. Well, this morning, a look at never-before-seen home movies and why the brothers say they did it. Terry Moran is back with us this morning.
Quiet!
You know how it is, Avril.
Two-year-old boys.
Those are the brats who knocked over the dresser.
Good luck. But this story has continued to fascinate people. The response we're getting online and on social media to tonight's documentary on ABC, it's been remarkable, and I think it's because it is a family story. Family's the crucible of our emotions, where our most important connections are forged, in some cases, broken.
Dramatic.
The Menendez brothers' trial was a sensation. At the time, some people calling it the crime of the century. Outside the courtroom, it was pure pandemonium.
It's like the crowds in the Roman Colosseum, you know, blood. They smell blood.
It was the case of two young and rich men, Eric and Lyle Menendez,
and
accused
ugly
of the shotgun murders of their parents, Jose and Kitty.
When I first saw Eric Menendez walk into the courtroom, my blood went cold, because I had never seen someone who had murdered his parents before. And it really was the Menendez case.
But the real scene was inside the courtroom with prosecutors.
It will become apparent that this murder was unjustified and wholly premeditated.
And defense attorneys hurling dueling claims.
The origin of this killing was a lifetime of abuse at the hands of those same parents.
Prosecutors had strong evidence, graphic photos of the crime scene.
This is her before and this is her after.
Experts.
It ejects the round of ammunition.
And even a confession by the brothers to their therapist, Dr. Jerome Oziel.
Did you ask them why they killed their mother?
They felt that they were putting the mother out of her misery.
But the ultimate
nice. Mama's being abused too.
If the brothers killed their parents,
they're so
but
kind.
Why?
He killed his parents because he could no longer endure their abuse and had to stop it.
Both of the Menendez
brothers
took
drive away?
The stand and told of abuse.
Yeah, they were.
Can you answer
of
the
age?
Yes.
Okay, was you tell me what?
Fake.
My dad had been molesting me.
You could hear a pin drop in the courtroom. And that's when I thought, oh darn, I'm in trouble.
But two family members came forward to say both Lyle and Eric had each told them of the abuse years before. By the time of the killings, Jose Menendez had grown disgusted with his sons.
Eric was a disappointment in whatever Joe thought would be the right way for a young man to behave.
I met Eric Menendez when I was doing
the
photo shoot.
He's modeling photos.
Hills. He was natural in front of the camera. He was very comfortable.
He's ugly.
I don't think Eric had really the physical attributes to be a working model. But he was photogenic.
No, he was not.
I think Eric was struggling to find his way. And I don't know the insides of what went on in their house, because he didn't talk about it.
Who poses like that?
Relationship with your
really
father.
Stupid.
Brutal.
Painful. Torturous. And yet, I admired him because he was so
strong, and he was everything that success was, that I was taught.
It's everything you weren't, so you killed him.
And I thought that he was the most powerful and brilliant person I had ever met.
Though the first trial ended in a hung jury, they were eventually convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison, no chance of parole.
Ah.
I'm more of a fully formed adult now.
Except for my hair.
It's shocking to think about that happened, that I could have been involved in taking anyone's life and my parents' life. It's still jarringly. It seems unimaginable because this seems so far removed from who I am and who I was.
And speaking to ABC News from prison all these years later, Lyle Menendez still speaks with passion of the man he loved and feared.
And murdered.
My father was like a force of nature, and you look up to that. You're expected to be competitive to a fault. He began to sort of try to groom me to be hyper-competitive and succeed.
Lyle and Eric Menendez are serving out their separate life sentences in separate prisons, but they're still in touch, phone calls and mail mostly, and they play the occasional game of chess, one move at a time, by mail. Snail mail.
No chance of getting
stupid.
No chance. All their appeals have been exhausted. The only possible chance is that some future governor of California would commute the sentence, but they are in not prison happening. For the rest of their lives.
It was captivating then.
That'd be great if the postal service that does the mail loses their game and finish it.
Did they have to keep the chessboard all up in his cell then, each brother?
I assume they wrote it out maybe with a pencil and erase. I don't care.
Chess by mail?
I don't know.
By snail mail?
Take something boring and make it even more boring.
I mean, we just...
I got plenty of time. So.
Yeah, that's true.
I was talking about the guy who was the club kid in New York who went to jail for chopping up that body.
Yeah, there's a 24-hour party people, I think is the movie based on him.
Yeah, there's a documentary about him too. Yeah. His name is Michael... Oh boy, Michael Gigler or Gil? Oh, I can't remember. Anyway, I'll think of it. He got heroin every day for 10 years in prison. Whoa. Wouldn't you think the Menendezes would have a computer or a TV or some way? Or
they could probably get heroin. They could probably get whatever they wanted.
I just would figure they could play chess some better way than through the mail. That just seems so archaic for what prisoners get away with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're just morons, though, aren't they? Really?
Yeah,
pathetic morons.
I can't believe that one thought he was a model. Are you kidding?
He could have maybe done gay porn.
Yeah, he could have maybe done.
Looks like a real.
Maybe, but he's probably not hung at all.
Probably not.
Do you have to be hung in gay porn?
Yeah.
I think so.
What's the point?
Pertinent. Hey, Manson?
Chucker.
They haven't really had any, you know, new information, and so I'm just scanning everything, trying to find something about it today. And I saw that Corcoran has basically just spilled the beans about he's just, you know, the worst prisoner, which you'd never expect.
I know. What a surprise. He's a bad prisoner. How many violations?
100 violations at Corcoran. He's
been in there a long time.
Line stepper, yeah. And they said he had... Among the things that he had, a hacksaw. He's going to saw his way out.
Wow.
And then cell phones. And then he used the cell phones.
His cell phones?
Yeah, he would get cell phones now and then. And he would call people. And they said 3 different states in British Columbia. So I wondered if they called those people to find out what Chuck said to him.
Wow. That would be so cool to get his phone bill.
Yeah, can you
to call everybody and find out, God, how was your conversation with Chuck?
Can you imagine just answering the phone, you know, out of the blue? It's like
Manson.
Some guy just starts rambling.
Woman.
Yeah, I wonder.
One question, and 15 minutes later, he finally stops answering.
Wait, woman. That was what he called Diane Sawyer, wasn't
Sawyer?
It?
Yeah.
Woman.
Woman. Yeah, just get a phone call out of the blue from Charles Manson.
I wonder who the hell he called. Of course, he got so much mail because people are just fascinated by him.
Probably called that chick that he was going to marry.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The 26-year-old.
Right.
We became dear friends with her mother.
Baby, won't you light my fire?
Probably sing music.
His music was so bad.
You done turned me in.
Was that the one song? Dig on rolling. I live on another level.
Yeah, you do. One lower.
God. Charlie.
Hey, so why was the I don't. Did you have anything more on Manson, Trudy?
No, that was. I couldn't find anything more. So
those cops guarding him finish their game yet? Their video game.
I know that was amazing. Both cops on the phone, in the phone.
The one other thing was that Brian Craig had been reading the Cranston book, and he said that when he was like 19 or 20, he went riding horses in the valley with his cousin.
Yeah,
and they went to the stable. They were getting their horses, and somebody's like, "Charlie's back." And they're like, what the hell is that? And then he saw some bedraggled dude with wild eyes on a horse go by.
What?
And then about a year later, they were watching coverage of the murders. And they're like, oh, Charlie Manson, we could have been killed. You know, they met him out on the track, on the horse trail.
Whose story
trail.
Was that?
Brian Cranston. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's got some pretty good stories.
He's a great interview, by the way. God, he was funny.
Seems like a good dude.
I thought so, too.
It's a good book. It's an easy read.
We interviewed him when he was doing Malcolm in the Middle, and I was really marginally interested in that show, but he was a great interview.
He was Tim Watley from Seinfeld, so that's why we talked to him.
That's right. No,
that show was great. Rewatch it.
That episode?
Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
I loved that show.
It's a very underrated show.
Yeah, I got interested in it because of him, because he was so cool in just the 10 minutes we talked to him, and then we got to talk to him again. He was a great, great guy. Really cool guy.
Yeah.
And of course, who knew he had that in him? And he did a movie just at the end of last year that was Infiltrator. Is that
The Infiltrator? I love that movie.
Yeah, but he also did. Yeah. He played LBJ.
Yeah,
yeah. He got rave reviews for that.
That's a really good movie. HBO movie.
I thought The Infiltrator was honestly one of the better movies I've seen in a while.
It was tense.
Yeah, it was really tense. Really? Definitely edge of the seat. Yeah. He was going after Carlos Escobar.
Oh wow.
And how was he doing that, Trudy? I'm trying to remember.
He had to be the sort of money man in between.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was...
Pablo Escobar, right? What did you say?
Pablo Escobar. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was trying to help them launder their money. And so he was doing it with real estate deals and stuff like that. But he's an FBI agent, right?
Yeah.
Or CIA.
Yeah,
FBI.
But
they set up a fake bank for real. That's one of the ways. Did they have that in the movie? That's one of the ways they busted Escobar, or they knew where he was. They actually set up a fake bank to help launder large sums of money.
They, I don't know about that, but in that movie, Drew, didn't they bust the bankers too? Because they knew full well what was going on.
Totally busted the bankers.
Yeah.
And but they were living on the edge like crazy. I mean, that was insane. He got the guy he was playing got so close with the guys in Escobar's organization. I mean, he was like dear friends with those guys. In fact,
would you say they infiltrated it?
Yeah, they infiltrated it. The movie lived up to its title.
Yes.
He was, you know, he was in weddings and stuff, and they were going to be in his wedding, and that was when they busted him at his wedding, wasn't it?
Spoiler alert.
Oh.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, man. No reason to see it out.
Pretty huge. Sorry.
We'll just put that on the...
On the front?
Yeah. But you know what? That scene was...
Sorry. It's an old movie. The movie's been out for months.
I know.
If you haven't seen it, fuck off.
And that... And that scene was amazing, too, wasn't it? When they're like, and they had this like moment of remorse, and they're like, screw it. The job's over.
Yeah.
I have to give the diamond necklace back? Oh, goddammit.
But he was really getting, really close with, serious friendships with those guys. And it was very complicated. It reminded me of...
He stayed in, too.
Yeah.
In the FBI.
He was crazy. I mean, to be that into your work is just, I don't know how you stay married.
Yeah, I know. He did, somehow. Even though he had a pretend wife who was another agent.
Oh, that's right, yeah. He was kind of odd.
Yeah, sure was.
The Detroit News has a story about El Chapo, speaking of drug runners.
Yeah.
And he bought a plane from Metro Detroit, and that the feds seize is the largest one-item seizure the feds have ever had in Detroit.
Chapo?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was disclosed in a court filing obtained by the News that Chronicles. International intrigue surrounding an airplane involving money laundering caper stretching from a Monroe County town to Guadalajara. Huh.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty wild.
Wow.
Man, I'm really kind of distracted because I really want to watch that Menendez movie or that 2-hour special tonight. How 50 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking we could pick it up live for a minute or two, but not going to happen. We set another record for car sales, 17.55 million, which was... A lot of car news the last couple of days with Ford's news, and I was reading a lot of the comments on that story.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm getting so tired of this. Between reading stories about Michigan football, where Michigan and Michigan State people get shitty with each other,
right?
For like literally through 300 comments. You've read those, don't you, Mark, occasionally?
Yeah, I don't see any problem with
them. I don't understand how the same people can show up after stories day after day after day.
They like the fight.
And rip each other back and forth. It's so childish. But anyway, it's the same way with the story about Ford, in that some people wanted to give a modicum of credit to Trump for setting the economic stage for this kind of activity. And Field even said he gave him a little bit of a pat on the back. But, of course, the other side is not willing. No, it had nothing to do with Trump. Trump had absolutely zero, less than zero to do with it.
And he said it did.
Back and forth. No, he gave him a little credit. He said the environment... He did. There's a quote.
Yeah. No, he said it. That was one of the reasons. It was not the reason, but it was one of the reasons.
Well, how to make business.
And I don't think it was the main reason by any means, but why these people find it so important to go on and make comment and argue with people, it's just, oh, my God. Are we ever going to get through this? No. Jesus. So, anyway, the other big news today, though, besides the 17.55 million, which barely beat last year, but that's a lot of vehicles. I mean, we definitely are in, these are strong, certainly some, in some ways, very strong economic times. But what is going to happen when all these malls close? We got Macy's in Eastland and Westland both shutting down.
Wow.
And Macy's, I guess, letting go of 10,000 people. I think 68 malls are closing.
Oh, wow.
68 Macy's. 68
Macy's,
and malls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of empty space.
How many Kmarts are there?
Wasn't it like 198 or something?
Is that many still? 10 Kmarts are closing.
Yeah. When was the last time you went to a Kmart?
I could not tell you.
When was the last time you went to a Macy's?
Actually, I've gone to Macy's. And I do know a few people that shop at Macy's.
Macy's is a little different.
I went through Sears a week.
But remember, Macy's, didn't they acquire Marshall Fields, which had acquired Hudson's? And, I mean, it just almost got too bloated.
I don't know why. I picture Sears having rotary phones in the stores.
They do.
Sears just seems so old.
Yes.
Not getting Craftsman tools. Why would you?
I would rename the joint. And
right.
Yeah.
Carry on. It just seems so ancient to me. Even, you know, Macy's to some degree too, but still, how are these malls going to survive without anchor stores?
Does Sears still have the catalogs? Remember those back in the day?
Oh, those are hot.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
big thick ass catalog.
Well, the Sears catalog, didn't they have the one with where the guy's Andre. Dick was partially showing?
Yes, yes, yes.
Really?
Trudy, of course, knows that one.
Did?
I was in junior high. We were like, "Where is that? Let's see what one of those looks like."
Well, how much was actually showing?
One of those.
Didn't he sue, too? Didn't he win some money out of that thing?
I think so.
I don't know this story.
Some guy was modeling, like, boxer underwear.
Yeah?
And he was, like, 17 or 16 years old, and it, like, the head of his dick was coming out of, I don't know if it was the slot or if he was really hung and was coming out of the bottom or what it was, but
I think the implication was it was coming out of the bottom so that it was like extra thrilling.
On purpose?
Part of his wiener, somehow it got through everyone. No one noticed it. And so the Sears catalog, like 2 million of them went out, and there's this guy's wiener.
Nice. Hey, Mark, did you find that?
I'm
did
looking
you Google
for it.
It? Sears tried to say, oh, no, that was a shadow on the...
Oh, yeah.
It's a shadow of a nipple.
None of us.
Oh, there it is.
That was what it was.
Wait,
is that a wiener?
You found the
ball,
picture?
Or is it a ball?
Hey, let me see.
1975, would that be around the right time?
Yeah, look at the time. Just the tip.
Trudy recognizes the guy.
Oh, they're boxers, too.
Oh, here we go. There's a better version.
Look at the circle drawn around it.
Is that hard to see?
Yeah, you know what? Because
there's
it was on that
face too. Like, hey.
It's that grainy catalog paper. Yeah, he knew, didn't he? Look how happy he was.
Where is it hanging out?
I'm sure.
Show Drew again.
Go back to the circle.
Oh,
yeah.
Well.
Look at the look on his face. He is the person who owns that.
Yeah, he looks like he knows it and he digs it.
Yeah.
By the way, who wears their boxers that high? Look where his boxers are.
The guy wants his dick to hang out of the bottom.
That's true. Yep, there you go.
The guy in the tidy whities next to him has nothing.
Yeah, he's got nothing going on.
So ashamed.
I mean, wouldn't you fluff or something? It's ridiculous.
They tried to say no. They wear several pairs of, you know, and they have special padding and stuff. But he was floating free in his boxers. So
oh yeah, no, every chick within like a 15-year age range knew about this.
Yes, right.
Every chick has seen that. That's so blatant, though. How could anyone argue that?
Yeah, no, it's totally.
They did that on purpose to get people to get the Sears catalog, and then later on tried to act like it was an accident. So come on.
Give you any ideas, Mark, for the next modeling shoot? For
sure,
the
yeah. Yeah, I'm going to wear
there you go. Yeah, that's right, for Drew and Mike, we're a podcast wear.
Really high.
That, and you can do Eric Menendez poses.
That pose?
I can't get over that Eric Menendez actually, yeah, Mark's got it pretty well down.
Nobody has ever posed like that.
Well, can you imagine this photographer, Eric Menendez? He's the one with the spikier hair, which is actually, it was a toupee, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's the one with the toupee. Yeah, and he got stripped of when he went to prison. It was killed him.
Pissed.
Even though it was a horrible toupee.
Yeah. James Traficant, too.
He's got these really harsh...
God, it's right. In ages.
That's right. Eric has harsh features. He's ugly as hell.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to picture this photographer, and that guy comes to you and says, yeah, I'm considering a career in modeling.
How much money you got?
Yeah.
Well, my dad's really loaded him from everything else. All right, yeah, you look great.
Yeah, we'll do a shoot. It'll cost you a couple $1,000 and yeah, I'll shop those around and see what I can do. He actually to this day feels guilty and says, oh, yeah, Eric was very photogenic. I just don't think he was model material. Right. It wasn't even close. Are you kidding? That's ridiculous.
He did look evil, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. Yeah. He was bizarre looking.
You know, I don't know if you've watched the Leah Remini thing. But
oh, yeah,
picture,
I have watched that. I watched the show.
The portrait of David Miscavige that intentionally represents him, you know, that he has his own portrait. He looks so evil.
I know.
In that picture.
No, he
and
is.
Why would you pick the picture that makes you look evil?
I think because he's like 5'3", and so he wants so bad to be bad. He wants so bad to be 5'9", or 5'11", or 6'1", that, you know, I suppose looking a little scary makes him feel taller. I don't know.
Well...
That guy was so fucked up.
Everybody was so scared or so subdued by that, and they would never fight back. Did you watch all the episodes? One of the most recent ones was kind of a big guy who realized really early what this, all the shit that was going down there. And David Miscavige, you know, pushed him up against the wall, and he said he got a look in his eye like he was going to fight him, and then Miscavige called all the dogs down on him because he wasn't going to fight him himself.
Ooh.
Because he's the little dude who, you know.
Can you imagine the head of a church like the Pope beating the shit out of people like every few days? Isn't that weird?
And them submitting. Wow.
I know.
Some pretty lousy popes back in the day, but today, no.
It's just so, I mean, assaulting. I mean, the sexual thing in the Catholic Church, as, you know, and there's nothing more horrible that I could hardly imagine, but. I mean, we know people are just, that stuff happens. It's just going to happen. But like, the head of a church beating people up regularly and people covering
especially
more?
When he's a tiny, tiny man.
Little.
No, he's smaller than Tom Cruise.
I know.
Oh, I've seen
God,
that
he
saluting
must be so
picture.
Mad about that.
That's so funny, too, and Tom Cruise plays Jack-Off Reach-Around Mr. Badass for two movies. I mean, both these guys so desperately want to be these ass-kicking badasses. I mean, could you see Tom Cruise almost being an MME guy?
Going, oh, MMA, yeah.
Working out. Yeah. And,
I'm really surprised that Miscavige hasn't been in one of his movies. Like, wouldn't you think?
Oh,
Come on, Tom, let me play your younger brother.
Did you hear his wife was cited by
I told you.
People?
It was, yeah.
I just read about it. There was a story about it the other day.
Yeah.
And really strange. Oh, they say he's 5'1".
Miscavige?
5'1".
Remember this picture here?
My mom was taller than him.
This is the dumbest picture.
Tom Cruise, 5'7", allegedly.
Dumbest picture a camera has ever taken.
Oh, yeah.
It's Tom Cruise and David Miscavige in all leather on their Ducati bikes looking badass.
The camera broke itself after that.
God, is that
look at that picture.
Stupid.
Evil.
Those weirdos.
Them just embracing each other.
Yeah,
I was really fascinated by all the production effects in their, you know, like the movies that they made where people had to attend and watch how great it was. And there's always volcanoes and lightning and stars and suns. Well, and I'm thinking that must have been a cool job.
They're sitting, L. Ron Hubbard all scripts, aren't they? Aren't they? Because Battlefield Earth is an L. Ron Hubbard
story. Yeah, that movie, yeah.
And but, is the dumbest movie. Oh, my God. And Travolta stars in it.
Oh, yeah.
And that stupid costume he had.
I know.
Wow, did he look ridiculous. Whoa. I'm amazed he did that. That's incredible. I mean, they must have said, John, every homosexual confession you've ever made to the church in your auditing classes, right, every one of them's coming out unless you play this role.
Yes, that had to be it.
He even
that's
implied
right, it
that.
Sucks.
He really implied that at one point. I think it was when maybe when they won tax-exempt status in Time Magazine, did this huge story on Scientology, and they quoted somebody who was close to John Travolta, and they said that he did fear things he had said in auditing would be made public. He'd been told something to that effect, and that fear kept him in the church.
Yeah, so all of them do. But the propaganda movies that they're making, they don't even have a
those
story.
Movies. Yeah,
they're so full of this like imagery that's like, God, so much of it, and it's meaningless. But it makes people excited. You know, it gets them all pumped up.
There's a strange Travolta story today about. Mm.
Really?
He was shopping with his daughter, and somebody talks to him, and he reveals his secrets for his 25-year marriage.
Keeping it fresh?
Yeah.
And minty?
That word fresh is actually used, and I'm just thinking, how could he, with a straight face, I mean, he just settled with six guys that he sexually assaulted, six dudes. I'm sorry, Mark's not here to reveal something about his coarse pubic hair, which Mark loves to reference every time that subject comes up.
How can he possibly think anybody still thinks he has a relationship?
I know. What kind of a fantasy world is he living in? Or did he just not? I mean, maybe he was just caught and he figured, I have to say something. I don't know. He didn't have to give an interview. That was just weird how that. Isn't it weird how that was just made to go away and no one ever said anything to him? He went back on Letterman. Yeah. He showed up at, I think it was the Oscars that year. He went in the back door. He didn't go on the red carpet.
Right.
Because, someone might mention something homo. So I got to go in the back door. And he was a presenter. And then he disappeared. And so, you know, somehow he just figured, well, if long enough goes by, then, you know, nobody can say anything. And I guess that whatever that period is has passed because it sort of seems like it's over.
Yeah, it really is. I know. I mean,
Mark, what would you have said about John Travolta if I had brought up his sexual assaults, his alleged sexual assaults that were settled in court?
About his wiry and unkempt pubic hair?
Yes. Mark did not hear us discussing that.
Oh.
I just said I was sorry that you were not here to reference that.
He also had thick, dense hands, didn't he? Or was that in the Al Gore case? Remember Al Gore's
masseuse? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thick, dense hands. But remember, Travolta, excuse me if you've already mentioned this, he needed his buttocks rubbed because he was a pilot and he would sit on his butt so long.
Yes.
Yeah, well, everybody likes
Trudy's looking
buttocks
at me like I'm full of shit.
No, I'm just...
not a pilot.
I'm appalled at the excuses, but everybody wants their buttocks rubbed, so...
Oh, really?
Shut up, Travolta.
Trudy wants her buttocks rubbed?
I do.
Someone rubbed
I'll second that. I want my ass rubbed.
Special place in my heart for the movie musical. And for the songs that create your most memorable moments, here to perform the Oscar-nominated, gorgeously empowering song, Let It Go, from the Oscar-winning animated movie Frozen, please welcome the wickedly talented, one and only Adele Dazeem.
I just love that. I love it. It's my favorite introduction ever. Maybe Harrison Ford, the Golden Globes. Maybe.
Oh, Liz had a great moment. And I think it was in the same Golden Globes as Harrison Ford when she had the, it says envelope.
Oh, that was
what?
Classic. Oh, is she out of it? Oh, my God.
Oh, Liz.
There's something I want to play because I want to go back to, we talked a little bit about the whole white boy Bo Bice thing yesterday, and you know, I was trying to suggest that I thought Bo Bice was being a big baby. He cried on Channel 5 in Atlanta.
Being a total baby.
Being called a white boy. But I think being called a white boy is a racist element to it. It's not the worst racial slur you'll ever hear. Anyway.
But can somebody show Bo Bice the Facebook video of the four monsters that beat up and tortured the mentally challenged guy?
Yeah.
and called him white. Didn't they say white boy to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
That's some real hatred, racism, not somebody at Popeye's identifying you.
But if someone, but still, if someone makes a racial slur and they beat the shit out of a black guy, or they make a racial slur and they don't beat the shit out of a black guy, it's still considered a racial slur. And in you know, a lot of cases, you're not allowed to ever work again. It's so horrific. Yet in this case, you know, he's supposed to just suck it up, and he has to go on Facebook and cry on TV to make anybody do anything.
Does his album come out? Does he have an album coming out?
Probably. That's what this is.
I know, Trudy, you're very good at connecting these things. yes. Anyway, somebody was responding to that. There was actually, we had a few emails about that subject, and one of them was about this it was a New Year's Eve deal that MTV was playing. Maybe you can find this, Jay. It was Resolutions for White Men in 2017. Huh. And people were really pissed about this. I don't think they were really that pissed about it, but it just hit a really shitty chord. Like, why does anybody but white men seem to have moral high ground over white men? It was like if you had said this to any group, even white women,
right,
it would have been a big fuck you. Are you kidding me?
Terribly offensive. Yeah.
I guess we're just doing that good.
Oh, there you go.
We're just killing it so much.
Mark's attitude about this is very healthy.
You know, I hear what you're saying, Mark, but this is, I think, what's hard for white men is the white guys that aren't doing that great, which are plenty of people.
Sure.
To suggest every white guy is making six figures and...
I know, but we're the least marginalized group. Straight white men.
But that doesn't.
That's why. I'm telling you why.
But some people, many people, think that white guys. It's just so easy to be a white guy. You should just be successful no matter what. And a lot of white guys.
I like being a white guy.
Are struggling.
I imagine it's easier.
Anyway, watch this. Listen to this.
All right.
This advice for white guys in 2017, and tell me.
Let's see if I can.
If you can understand why. Something might be bugged.
Hello, white guys.
It's about to be a new year.
And there's a few things we think you could do a little bit better in 2017.
I hate these, by the way.
And those people are just
first
annoying
off,
self.
Try to recognize that America was never great for anyone who wasn't a white guy.
Can we all just agree that Black Lives Matter isn't the opposite of All Lives Matter? Black lives just matter. There's no need to overcomplicate it.
Also, Blue Lives Matter isn't a thing.
Cops weren't born with blue skin, right? I mean, yeah. They weren't born blue.
Stop bragging about being woke. Stop saying woke.
Learn what mansplaining is, and then stop doing it.
Oh, and if you're a judge, don't prioritize the well-being of an Ivy League athlete over the woman he assaulted.
We all love Beyonce. And yeah, she's black, so of course she cares about black issues. I'm talking to you, Fox News.
Feel free to take Kanye West, though.
Ooh.
You guys can have him.
You know what you did, Kanye. Nobody who has black friends says that they have black friends.
And just because you have black friends doesn't mean you're not racist. You can be racist with black friends.
Look, guys, we know nobody's perfect.
But honestly, you could do a little better in 2017. Some of you guys do a great job. Some of you don't.
Please, because 2017
is bad. Who the
fuck
are you?
2017 can't be worse than this, all right? Because this is bad.
You know what the worst part of that was?
What?
It just wasn't funny anyway.
No.
They're trying to be even.
I don't think they're trying to be that funny.
You don't think they're trying to be funny?
I think there's a serious message there. I think they're actually.
I was taking it as a bit, and I was offended that it wasn't funny.
I think there's an attempt at humor. Yeah, I would agree. But I think I think there's a serious undertone too.
A lot of stuff you can make fun of white people for.
So are you shamed into changing any of your ways then?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to take it to heart. I took notes through the entire piece.
I need to stop mansplaining to people.
What is mansplaining?
What does that mean? What is woke-y, too? I don't even know what that means. Woke?
It's being like aware or empathetic, just, you know, worldly about everybody kind of thing.
That's what that is?
Am I explaining it correctly? Millennial over there?
Well...
He's on his phone.
Joey.
Joey's not real interested.
I'm just giving you crap.
Mansplaining.
I've never heard the term other than like awake or awoke.
Slang term that is easing into the mainstream for a variety of dialects called African-American vernacular English. That's not the right one. That's not what it means.
Urban Dictionary.
Urban Dictionary. Being woke means being aware, knowing what's going on in the community.
Oh, well. Okay.
Regarding social.
Glad we have another word.
Mansplaining
is basically when a situation happens in this this group of people who yes. just talked in their frame of reference, where a woman says something brilliant, and then a guy down the table from her takes her idea and explains it in his own way, and he gets all the recognition for it, and she gets shit on again. Oh, that's okay. what it is in a nutshell.
Is that commonplace these
society?
Days? Is that happening a lot?
According to that group of people, yes.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, that was a good reference point.
yes. There are people who believe that, yeah.
You know, one of the comments in there, which probably very few would argue with, because it seems to be a real common thing. I'm hearing it in a lot of different places. The whole argument that when Donald Trump says making America great again, it's like, wait, that's only for white people. And that means going back to the racist 50s and the misogynist 60s or whatever. And I think I know what he's talking about. He's talking about, for example, the jobs that have been lost, getting jobs back from Mexico and places like that. I think that's what he's trying to refer to. I mean, a lot of people are trying to make it into, well, I don't really know what he means. But anyway.
I have no idea what he means.
The comment there, I mean, it's basically saying it means basically making things better than they are, I think. Or, I mean, have we never had good times?
Well, I think a lot of people take it as minimalizing the last 8 years is what he means by, you know, turning back the clock. And when there's been a lot of social progress under Obama, I can see why people would be a little bothered by that statement.
Isn't it making America rich
well,
again?
I think people want to be bothered by a lot of things in some cases, but the comment was, when you talk about America being great again, you're only talking about white people. So are we saying that no one has ever had anything good besides white people in the past? That no person who is not a white male has had anything good prior to right now? That's what the person said.
Yeah.
That's preposterous. I mean, no one is saying things can't be better or that we're not making progress and we don't need to make more progress. But the idea that no one has ever... Oh, I thought Oprah did okay.
Yeah.
That's one person, I mean.
No, it's one person. But the person said... Let's play it again. Play this
thing.
If
you're a marginalized group of people, wouldn't you think now would be pretty great compared to 10, 20... 50 years ago, that's why they would say that.
I understand why they're saying that, but this idea that when she says, when you talk about making America great again, you're talking about for no one but white men, and I think it just suggests that we're this group, this gang, who just sort of made things our own way. I haven't been a part of any gang or any organized effort to make anything good for me or bad for anyone else, and I take it kind of personally, and I think a lot of people do.
Nobody understands it.
I just want to hear what she said exactly, because I just want.
Huh? It's about to be a new year,
and there's a few things.
Thinking what she's trying to say.
In 2017.
First off, try to recognize that America was never great for anyone who wasn't a white guy.
Mm. Can we all just agree that Black Lives Matter isn't the opposite of all lives matter?
Has America ever been good for you, Trudy?
Yeah.
Well, you're not a white man.
No.
She's lost me.
No.
First off, yeah, that's try to recognize that America was never great. I guess maybe for anyone who wasn't.
Maybe the problem is putting everything in groups and saying we're talking to white men only, or if we're talking to black men or black women only. Maybe that's just a bad idea because it's broad brushing.
Yeah.
That's probably why it hits me wrong. And three people sent this to me and I hadn't even seen it or heard about it.
Who sent this to you?
Actually, you know what? We had some interesting email yesterday.
Oh, cool.
Including things in people's asses. Stories.
Including somebody telling me that the mom of the two kids with the dresser falling is not hot.
Oh, yeah. I got an email to the same effect.
He's ragging on her five head. She does have a
What's a five head?
One bigger forehead. Than a forehead.
Forehead, five head.
Oh. Great term. I like that.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, she has a big four. I just didn't expect her to be hot. You never find people on news to be attractive usually. If something happens to them,
right?
Usually they're not attractive people.
Yeah,
she was attractive.
She looked good enough.
Their kids think they're hot.
already, and they're like 2 years old.
Well, the older kid thinks she's really hot.
They were highly stylized this morning, weren't they?
Yeah, they were on GMA, and I was telling Drew it's the hardest hitting interview I've ever seen George Stephanopoulos do, because right off the bat he's like, so why were the drawers empty?
Yeah. Question.
And the dad answered it. It's kind of a ridiculous answer. He said because they get into the drawers and they throw the clothes all around, So they move the clothes to the closet, which my answer would be like, well, why don't you get the dresser out of there? And he wants an empty dresser in a room.
That's ridiculous. Wait,
and then...
Well, the implication was it was a Heaney thing happening?
Yeah.
A hoax. A lot of people thought it was a hoax. Said that yesterday, though. Didn't you mention it being a hoax?
Well, when Jay and I first talked about it off the air a couple days ago, we were like, there's something weird about this. And I thought mainly it was weird because the dresser fell and the two kids dicked around forever before mom found out about it. It's like, where was mom? Yeah.
Why weren't they yelling, crying, screaming at the top of their lungs?
Jay and I decided that the parents were just banging in the room next door and didn't want to stop.
Did anybody find it a little weird that the camera was trained on that corner of the room?
Steffi asked him about it.
Yeah.
George asked
him. Did that seem strange to you? Well, did you think about that?
It did seem staged.
That was the third question, because the second question is, the dad apparently works for the security camera company?
So he's trying to get attention for his security cameras?
Like, I work in sales. There's a lot of people that work in sales for that company. And then George asked, why was it trained and fixed? He said, because they have two fixed ones in the room. That one just happened to be the better one for them to post.
It's like they're straining to do some explaining.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
They post this video and everyone just immediately is like, fake, fake.
Oh, well, half the other people were like, oh my God.
It was pretty It's pretty freaky though, wasn't it?
It was at first. Yeah, I thought the kid was killed. I was like, oh, for sure that kid's dead. And then his brother saved him.
Well,
saved him.
But I was only momentarily interested.
You agree with me, Trudy, that the kid that saved him may be mentally challenged because he tried to grab the dresser from behind first. Didn't that seem really stupid?
I heard you challenging that baby's technique.
Yeah, because then he started lifting with his back, not with his legs.
You know, I'm sorry for saying that, but I just thought there's no way you would go to the back of the dresser.
Well, and nice parenting your kids, too, to not, like, the dresser's on my brother, go get mom and dad for help or something.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
She said on Good Morning America, too, that, why didn't you, I think George asked, like, where were you? I didn't come in quicker. And she said, well, you know, I looked at it and I saw the dresser down and didn't see the kids. And I ran up there and they were just playing in the corner. So I figured everything was fine. And it took
ridiculous.
It took the dad to look at the video to figure out what happened. So,
oh my God!
Mom might have had a dresser fall on her.
Yeah, take those.
The point
away
is,
from them.
She's not that ugly.
She might not be not ugly. Okay.
She might
ugly.
Not be hot, but
what'd she
look
like?
She looks okay.
Did you see her?
I'll be the judge in that.
Okay,
I did see her, but I have to see her again.
I'll cure her up.
Here's things people get stuck inside themselves. My wife works in the ER at Detroit Receiving. You wouldn't believe the story she comes home with. God, that must be fun. She said a majority of the time it's suburban people who come in. They don't want to go to a hospital near them for fear of bumping into someone they know. And occasionally they act like they don't speak English so they don't have to explain. She's seen more than a share of balls get stuck inside there. People don't realize you need to get something with a wide base because if you use a round ball, once it goes in more than halfway, there's nothing to stop it from going all the way in.
Oh.
She also had a nice suburban married couple come in where the vibrator they were using went all the way into the guy. Part of us felt really bad for them.
Ugh.
Figuring they'd been married for a while, they decided to try something crazy to spice it up and went horribly awry.
Oh.
We also laughed, though, thinking about when the husband's reaction was when he heard his wife say, uh-oh, and how long they must have tried fishing it out at home before they went to the ER. She also had a patient come in with one of those small glass Coke bottles. The regular ones.
Like I brought over that one time, remember?
That's right. Those are great, by the way.
In your butt?
No, not my butt. I didn't try that yet. The retro ones with all the curves crammed up there. They finally got it out with, and it was filled with crap, and they had to send the entire bottle to pathology as part of the procedure.
Oh,
oh boy.
She's okay.
The worst story came recently. Get this one.
I didn't think about it. He actually had to shit in the bottle because it was in his butt.
Yep. Isn't that nice? Oh, boy. The worst story came recently. A guy came with a giant zucchini stuck in him.
Oh
giant zucchini. I was telling you about this before. Oh. He said he went to downtown Detroit to pick up a prostitute, brought her home, found out she was actually a he. He figured he'd already paid, so he might as well go ahead, and as part of the act, he crammed the zucchini
what?
Up there.
Wait, what?
He'd already paid, so he might as well go ahead.
For his money.
It's frugal.
That's not a refundable thing. When you find out there's a penis, you can't get
I think that's
money
part
back.
Of the transaction is assuming there's a vagina in there.
Okay. Yeah. So she's getting his money back.
It's false advertising.
That is,
send her on her way.
That was not a contract, a proper contract. The contract was not enforced properly. In the meantime, the zucchini rotted and needed to be surgically removed.
Ew.
The guy ended up with a messed up colon and needed a colostomy bag for a few months while he healed.
Really?
Oh my God! Can you imagine it? Yeah, I got this bag for a while. It really sucks.
What happened?
Why do you need it? Yeah,
playing around with this. I thought this prostitute that turned out to be a dude, and I just went with it. Next thing you know, I had a zucchini in my ass. It rotted. They had surgery to remove it, and now I got.
Wait,
this
wait, wait! What?
I know it's crazy.
Did his body absorb any of the minerals from said zucchini while it was rotting?
Right.
No, I don't really understand.
You get useful nutrition from that.
Why couldn't he just dump it out?
Yeah, poop it.
Did he trim the zucchini?
I think he was waited a few days.
Oh, right.
How do you think he used the zucchini, Jay?
That's not a smooth ride.
He did wait a few days before he came in, remember? That's why it rotted.
That must have been a harrowing few days.
I know. Can you imagine how awful that must have been? The worst part is that the story doesn't even sound believable. We tried figuring out what really happened. If he thinks this version is less embarrassing than the truth, another time a woman came with a golf pencil shoved up her urethra.
Oh,
Not her vagina, her urethra. Ugh. My wife's exact words when telling the story were, "I'm a nurse, and if you gave me a bottle of wine and a hand mirror, I don't think I could even find it to shove anything up there."
Wow. True. Oh, my God.
That's disgusting.
That's really bad.
Wow, those are good.
Okay, Trudy, there she is. Is she hot or not?
She is hotter than your average
news person. Yeah, like person on the news.
Involved in a news story. So
she does have a five head, but she's attractive.
I think what you think makes her more attractive is she has white blonde hair.
It's a good look for her.
Yeah.
She's got nice boobs.
But then Jay was showing me a picture where she had this weird
style.
Frozen smile on her
face. I don't really get a look at her body. Is she shapely?
I think so, right? No?
I don't know. I couldn't tell. She said
that face she's making in that one picture looks like she'd be an ugly crier.
Look at the video. She's got a nice smile.
Yes. Yeah, she's okay.
By the way, the kid trapped rolls out. This kid didn't lift it up.
I know.
It landed on something.
Yeah, it looked like it was
okay, look there.
Toy or something.
Yeah, I don't think the second kid is any kind of hero. I mean, he tried.
There's the older brother. Trying. The older brother that thinks he's hot sitting there in the middle.
Yeah, these kids with their haircuts.
He has an alt-right haircut, too.
He's
a future Nazi.
The kids are really into their hair, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, Dad is. Look at.
Dad's not an alt-right, though.
Yeah, he's like, if he divorces her, he's on The Bachelor in like a heartbeat. Mm-hmm.
We had a lot
She's not awake. Come on, really, Jay? Drew?
What?
Anybody help me out? Here's almost, a close-up shot.
She almost has an alien head.
What? All right, forget the five head. I know.
I like this term, five head. I really dig that.
Big,
she is actually, she's got a decent body. I see that.
Let's hear the voice.
And the dresser was falling down just flat, and good I didn't teeth. See any kids anywhere.
So where were they?
I was frantic.
Yeah, she's got a cute face.
Flung open the door, and they were just over in the corner playing nice and quiet. And
like nothing happened?
Like nothing happened.
So yeah, there's virtually nothing in that dresser, too, so it was not that heavy to push off the kid. It's not like he picked up a car.
It's an IKEA dresser, yeah. Very light.
You want to see a baby pick up a car?
No adrenaline was required.
As a parent, my heart dropped because I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
So his grandma there.
Watching it together.
He watched it alone first, and then
showed me.
The kids are getting into stuff. Get the kids off the stage.
We were in shock, like we didn't know. We looked broccoli.
Terrible parents, by the way, giving their kids video games to play with.
We just felt
while they're on TV.
No marks at all.
Kids can't sit still for 1 minute.
Well, the kids are too young, so they can't say for the show.
The kid was making a bunch of, he was raising hell during the Menendez piece, remember?
Yeah, I know. Well, the other kid tried stealing George's coffee.
A lot of things and do a lot of things that we'd never imagined. So.
Maybe that's why they were that active. They drink mommy's coffee.
We had a lot of extra help.
Yeah. Those kids are
They're hellions, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's why they got video cameras in every room.
Here's the kid that thinks he's hot. It's his moment in the sun.
Chair. You can? That's pretty good. I guess the strength runs in the family.
Yeah, right.
Which one is bawling? The one in the dad's?
He's not getting enough attention.
Right. He's not part of the
story.
The
kid's picking his nose. Gross.
So active.
Ew, he just ate it! The kid's eating his booger!
Oh, he is. You're right.
It's future Jim Harbaugh.
Worked, but it's definitely worth
Why
it.
Is the third kid here? Why don't they leave him home with somebody?
Because he'd pull a dresser over on himself or something.
No way to save him.
The third kid has nothing to do with the story, right?
No.
He wasn't in the room.
No, but he thinks he's hot, so he's trying to get a modeling job for me.
Seems like it. Here's something Doug sent in that was kind of funny. I've been off work this week. They play these commercials endlessly during Judge Judy for a local lawyer. The lawyer doesn't appear in them, but his voice pops up as if he's on the phone with his client. He seems a little excited by the law or by tragedy, not sure which. The client is shown saying they're injured or something bad happens, and he says, I'm coming right now.
Oh, I've seen those.
I'm coming right now.
Oh, gross.
I want to get that drop.
Wait, that, along those lines, I had Dr. Phil on for about 5 minutes today.
Oh, so boy. You heard three words?
Probably. Max.
He was interviewing a lady who was getting a divorce, and the story I gathered from watching, honestly, 5 minutes, was that her divorce attorney started hitting on her and touching her and stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the stories she told was that he started asking really personal questions, and Dr. Phil's like, when you were on the phone? And she's like, yeah. So the idea is getting off while asking me these questions.
Oh, boy.
Wow. So apparently, it's possible that same attorney.
Oh, right. Oh, he's coming.
Good point. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you just say I'm on my way?
It also says that the client is... Wait, then at the end, they again play him saying, I'm coming right now, again.
and then the variant, I'm still coming.
I recorded Judge Judy.
I can't stop coming.
When I saw this come in, so maybe we can give it a listen and see if
you saw what?
I watch that kind of a lot. It's sort of like the courtroom version of Cops.
Yeah, it's really, it's amusing. It's really popular. I mean, a ton of people watch Judge
when
Judy.
When people are really
Wait,
stupid.
Harbaugh loves Judge Judy, yeah, doesn't he?
He's been on it.
He's been on
it? The crowd. He's attended. You've never seen that shot? Him and his dad, Jack, are in the ground. He's got that, his goofy smile on.
I don't think I've seen him at Judge Judy, no. Jesus.
Yeah. Bert is...
Bert.
For all that he never really gets to say all that much, he is...
Who's Bert?
He has
is
to
that
laugh.
Bela?
Yeah, he has to laugh at all of her jokes.
Oh, God. She's loaded, man.
Yeah, she is. I wonder how much of that Bert gets.
What would Bert actually do? Because you know how when they he's calling the case?
Right.
All, you know, and
wait, Bert's the bailiff?
Yeah. Right.
You know, like, what if somebody doesn't sit down in the courtroom? You know, he stands there looking like, yeah. You know, making sure
somewhat
every
menacing.
Last person say, yeah, what the hell is he going
to
do?
He never really has to knock any heads, though.
No.
So. Because everybody walks out of there with their money, basically.
Unlike Rusty, who used to kick ass on the People's Court. Remember Rusty?
Yes, I do.
Doug Llewellyn. Remember we had Doug Llewellyn on during the OJ trial?
Did you? Oh.
Yeah, we had him on regularly, like once a week, I think. He offered nothing.
Oh,
absolutely
really?
Nothing.
Oh, man.
But it was Doug Llewellyn. So
this could be it.
Oh yeah, I think it. I think we got it.
You deserve compassion. You deserve Molina Healthcare.
This is a local
your
attorney.
Family.
I didn't say local, but it's definitely an attorney ad with no attorney on it.
Being charged with a DUI is a serious matter, even for a first-time offender. The penalties, fines, and inconvenience are huge. But a DUI doesn't have to result in disaster. The lawyers at Elimitix are here to help.
Elimitix.
We are aggressive drunk driving defense lawyers, and we offer solutions.
Play it.
Well, at least people got to find out about Elimitix.
Elimitix.
Wow, never heard of that one.
Me either. Huh.
It's definitely during Judge Judy, according to this dude. I got today in Rock, by the way.
Oh, cool.
And a Tate information. Tate, the guy that could fart in command, what? He used to be on our show.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminded me. Jeremy, the fartista, tweeted to me.
He did?
Yeah. He goes, okay. Hi, guys, here I am.
Sweet.
Methane brought them all out of the... Really?
Awesome.
The chamber. Yeah.
Love the podcast. Heard you talking about Tate on the most recent one. He's still around. I went to high school with him. You should look him up on Facebook and see if he'll come by for a little taste of Tate. Tate... Dobbs on Facebook. He's the one who works at Dobbs Dental Ceramics. Hope this helps in getting a piece of history back on the air. Rocking a sweet hoodie. Rick D. Sweet.
Yeah, Joey loves his hoodie, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he looks really good.
Everybody loves their merch. The merch is extremely popular.
Yeah.
Hey, this could be it. All right, I found another one. Hang on.
Okay.
There's a Supreme Court.
Wait, where'd it go? Oh, no!
What? What happened?
I hit channel down.
Oh!
I don't know how to use this thing.
You just got to go back into...
Mariah Carey would never give you a job.
I know. Well, I'm not an Xfinity person.
Hey, did you see Aerosmith has a pinball machine?
Gross.
Is that new?
Yes. It's brand new.
They are... I mean, is there anything they will not promote?
They're not as bad as Kiss, but I thought it was sort of...
too far off, are
I want to kind of play it, but I don't want to own it because it's like $7,000, but...
Oh, they sell them?
Yeah, I'm not that big an Aerosmith fan, but it looks kind of fun.
I wonder how many fans would spend $7,000 on a... I mean, that's... God, that's a lot of money to spend.
Kiss fans who probably have...
Oh, Kiss fan. Yeah, I bet. You know, if you're talking about a Kiss fan who makes a lot of money, they probably spend 40, 50 grand on crap.
Yeah.
I know, right. They've got a AC/DC and a Metallica pinball machine. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've seen those.
And this is the week for the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, and I was trying to get an interview with these people, and they're like, "Well, we're at CES now. We'll talk to you next week." And I was like, "Is the Aerosmith pinball machine there?" Like, yeah.
Oh, it's at the
at the CES.
It is.
Yeah. So
oh boy.
I want them to send me Aerosmith pinball sounds.
How much rock and roll stuff is there at that event?
Yeah, probably a lot, because that'll sell. That's the ticket, right?
I was going to say, I have a feeling there's probably more than we would ever imagine.
Yeah, some pretty cool stuff there at that show, though.
Oh wait, what's that?
I don't think it's this one. Did he?
Oh, Sam. Yeah, I don't think it's Sam.
Yeah,
I thought it's.
Did he say one?
I thought it was Lee Steinberg.
Oh well, there wasn't a Lee ad on here.
There was not one.
No.
The one show I record. Are you kidding me? Sorry. Well, so there's a lawyer in every break.
I know.
Oh, there's a sneak peek.
It's Judge Judy.
I never found that.
Yeah,
story,
that makes
Jay.
Sense.
Thank you.
Duh. Hey, did you hear about Bobby Brown almost dying over Christmas?
Really? Like Whitney's Bobby Brown?
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Overdose?
Decades of drug abuse and the stress of daughter Bobby Christina's death may have led to Bobby Brown's intestines exploding.
Ew.
It was terrifying.
Put a zucchini up there
and rocked Bobby to the core. It looked like the end. The former New Edition singer was home alone when he collapsed on December 19th, drove himself to a medical center near his Tarzana, California home. Bobby was minutes from death. Doctors said he had just over 1 liter of blood left in his system.
Whoa.
A family source said. It's a miracle he didn't die.
What?
The former partier was given a blood transfusion, spent 2 days in the hospital before being released. After everything Bobby's gone through with Whitney and Bobby, he's a nervous wreck, but it seemed like life was slowly getting back on track, and then he almost died. People were really worried.
He almost bled out through his butt?
I guess so.
Hmm.
Intestines exploding. Oh, what? Fun. I don't even know what causes that. That doesn't, was partying? What was that have to do with your intestines exploding?
No,
Jesus. Now, I know Duff from GNR, his liver... I don't think exploding is the right term, but it's damn close to it.
Really?
Yeah. It's like his...
liquefied?
His liver burst.
Ew. Ugh.
Yeah. And that sounded quite unpleasant.
Oh, God. Gross.
I know. today's the 5th of January. Today in Rock, 1968, Jimi Hendrix jailed in Stockton, Sweden for being drunk in public after destroying his entire hotel room. I didn't know Hendrix was a hotel room... destroyer.
Yeah,
maybe everyone did that. 1973, Bruce Springsteen released Greetings from Asbury Park.
Ooh.
Recorded in a week with Blinded by the Light and Spirits in the Night, which both went on to be, those are both big songs.
Yeah.
Manfred Mann. And did Manfred Mann do both of those? Spirits in the Night and Blinded by the Light?
I don't think
Because Spirits in the Night was a
did
hit.
Did they not have any of their own songs?
I don't know. That's weird. I never really thought about that. I knew Bruce did Blinded by the Light. I knew that was his song, but yeah. I didn't know Spirits in the Night. 76, former Beatles roadie Mal Evans, their childhood friend who was, back in the 60s when they used like two roadies and they really didn't do shit, was shot dead by L.A. police at his apartment January the 5th, 1976. His girlfriend had called police when she found him upset with a rifle. He ended up pointing the rifle at police. They opened fire, and that was the end of Mal Evans, the Beatles roadie. 1979, Prince made his live debut at the Capri Theater in Minneapolis. Warner Brothers executives attended but said Prince needed more time to develop his music.
Oh, really?
So they did not sign him.
Wah, wah.
David Bowie on Saturday Night Live on this day in 1980.
Ooh.
He performed The Man Who Sold the World.
Oh, cool. Oh, I love that.
No, a great song. TVC 15 and Boys Keep Swinging.
That's a really cool version of it, too. I remember they played it a lot when he passed.
Oh, The Man Who Sold the Earth?
I think SNL might have played that when they did their little tribute to him.
Did they?
I thought they played Life on Mars, too.
Oh, did they?
I think they played both, come to think of it. Sonny Bono was killed on this day in the skiing accident.
Oof.
Hit the tree.
Yeah.
Right?
Watch
out for that tree.
yeah.
George of the Jungle.
Billy Joe Armstrong released for drunk driving on this day in 2003. Sonny Bono was 98. I couldn't remember when that was. 2016, just a year ago. I forgot this story. Donald Fagen, the founder of Steely Dan, arrested for assaulting his wife at their home.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about that? I don't remember that story. I didn't hear why when it happened.
Yeah.
That's weird. It shows up on this day in history, and I don't even remember it originally happening. It's crazy.
just a couple of days ago.
Here's Bowie. So I hear it.
That's...
Oh, yeah, Nirvana covered this.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah, that's right. Unplugged.
Now that loser has that guitar.
Oh, God, that's so stupid.
Bowie, who he's wearing.
Oh, I know what this is.
Although I wasn't there.
Did two guys carry Bowie out there?
Yeah,
one of those guys is Klaus Nomi, who was this gay performer in New York City who sang opera-like, and he's the guy who just walked off the set kind of to the left. Yeah, he became this... became a real big deal for like 2 years. People wanted to go see him, and he'd draw big crowds everywhere, and then he tried to tour the world, and then he got AIDS. And he kept trying to perform. He was very sick, and it was really a horrible story. But there's a documentary about him.
Huh. Hey, did you know, like, a couple of days ago, it was the anniversary of Keith Moon running over his body?
Yeah, that was yesterday, I think.
Yeah, and I never knew he killed anybody, you know? I mean, I thought, and it was totally an accident, but the circumstances were bizarre as hell.
A skinhead gang fight or something at a bar?
Oh, they were mad because he was flashing cash around and getting expensive brandy and...
Oh, I didn't even know that part.
Yeah, he was getting, and he drove the Bentley, and they were all resentful and bitchy, and they chased him out.
Oh, the bastards.
And then he didn't drive, for obvious reasons.
Right, the chauffeur drove. The chauffeur got out to try and
make
interference, and Keith ran him over.
So, oh, my God.
Where is
horrible.
He? Let's get out of here. I'm driving.
Yeah, well, he was trying to get him out of there to rescue everybody from the skinheads attacking, and in his panic, he runs over his bodyguard.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, they said he never got over that.
I read that, and that was interesting.
It'd be hard to.
It seemed like he didn't seem that troubled. It didn't stop him from his usual...
Partying.
Yeah, he never really slowed down.
Right. What the hell happened that night?
But when Keith Moon died, he was actually trying to quit drinking.
Yeah.
And he was taking...
That's what killed him.
That's what killed him.
Yeah, he was taking pills to make alcohol... It makes you sick, I think, when you drink.
Oh, yeah. I forget the name of that.
I can't remember the name of it. But, yeah, and he was taking something on top of that, and he got sick.
They said he just used to, like, take stuff by the handfuls.
Yeah, handfuls of pills. Right. And, yeah, he was really... I mean, that guy was destined not to last that long.
Yeah. But John Paul Jones' birthday?
January 3rd?
Mark's birthday, also.
What? Oh, really?
Huh? Same day as Mark.
I do appreciate, by the way, when I came in, Trudy said, "Happy birthday." That's it. I said, "Oh, that's the most perfect birthday wishes I could ever want."
You don't want to fuss.
No, just happy birthday. Thank you.
Yeah, but I was reading about him because I was trying to figure out something new to say about John Paul Jones, and I never realized the beginning of Stairway was a recorder. That
really?
Plastic flute that you get in fifth grade.
Yeah, everybody had a.
Oh, really?
That's what that was. And it never even occurred to me what that instrument would be.
Doo, 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 doo.
Really?
Yeah. That little wavery flute sound is a recorder.
Absolutely. No, I had no idea.
It was like...
That's pretty interesting.
We used to get those. Everybody in public school got them to try to get them into
everybody
band.
Everybody did, yeah.
Wait, why did everyone get them in public school? I don't remember getting a flute.
I don't know. That's what the Wikipedia page said, too. That
they were trying to encourage...
They started handing them out in American public schools at a
it's
certain...
It's the first instrument that you can learn to play really easily.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I mean, obviously he used a wood version or something more
a
professional.
Pan flute?
Yes.
Like and Zamfir? He was a,
is that... That is the thing we... I was never this good at that.
Yeah, I can hear it.
All right, so maybe not
you
that big a revelation.
You think they would have a little something more than one of those.
I know.
But it works. It sounds okay.
Yeah, it was killer.
Absolutely. It's part of Stairway. I know we just kicked this around briefly. Matt Lauer being pissed about Megyn Kelly being hired without his approval.
Chuck Todd's freaking out.
Why is Matt Lauer mad?
Because he wasn't told.
Who gives a shit? I mean, honestly.
Matt Lauer runs it.
What?
His show.
It's the year of Matt Lauer, 20 years.
They should have consulted with him, and they should have let him in on it.
That's ridiculous.
It just seems like a complete ego thing.
It is.
Nothing else.
It is a complete ego thing.
It's kept in the dark.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, she's not going to be on the Today Show.
No.
So why is it even his business?
Savannah Guthrie's freaking out, too. So is Lester.
Why? Because they've offered Katie Couric to come back.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and now
Megyn Kelly. They're all freaking out.
Maybe they need to be shaken up a little bit over there.
Just this idea that these massive media multimillionaires are freaking out because Megyn Kelly's changing networks.
Well, Katie Couric being courted for permanent return to Today. That's one of the stories today. No, I don't think she'll do it either, so there's really nothing much to worry about.
They promised her own camera in her butt.
Well, that would probably seal the deal.
Yeah.
Savannah Guthrie, I like her.
At all times.
I know. When will the
camera three?
Will the camera in the butt
fade to Katie's butt?
When will that camera in the butt ever go away?
It's
in terms of this show, when her name comes up, the first thing someone will always bring up the camera in the butt.
Camera four pan and Katie's butt three take.
People get used to this really odd shot of just what is. Oh, it's Katie Glassman.
They superimpose it over her head when Matt's talking.
They just go there every few minutes just to use the camera. It's in her contract. Every 10 minutes, there must be a shot of her colon, however brief.
Her butt needs a Twitter page.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you it has.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a good one. Yeah. Like
Katie Couric's colon.
Like the shovel.
Yeah.
Craig's butt has.
Did you see the 50 best movie kisses of all time?
Oh, wow. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Oh, that
is that on there?
It should be. I think it should
That's
be
where
on
you
there.
Just kiss upside down.
Number one is Titanic.
Oh.
Jack and Rose.
Did you hear it was a fire that caused the Titanic to sink, not an iceberg?
Oh, yeah, right.
Wait, did they just figure that out?
Yeah.
Tell them to slow down on figuring out what happened to the Titanic.
Who's going
to
sue?
It's only been 104 years.
What a great question, Trudy. Who's going to sue? Someone could obviously sue over this now.
Hey, I'm looking at, I shouldn't have read the first one first, but anyway. So I go back to number 50. Lost in Translation, the kiss between Bob Harris and Charlotte Johansson.
The very end, right?
They didn't kiss on the lips.
Yeah, he whispered something in her ear and kissed her back, right?
Should that be in the top 50 kisses of all time? She didn't want to nail him.
But it's pretty memorable, I guess.
He can actually kiss you with his butthole.
Is that one on there?
No, not on here, unfortunately. Clueless, Paul Rudd and Alicia Silverstone's kiss. Yeah, whatever. Atonement, The Fault in Our Stars, The
Atonement,
Catch a Thief.
Such a great movie.
The Godfather 2, The Kiss of Death between Michael and Fredo.
That should be way higher.
What else is on here? God, there's a lot of stuff. Oh, Jerry Maguire, You Had Me at Hello Kiss. No. That's number 41. I know. Yeah. Dumb line.
You want to kiss me?
Breakfast Club, where Claire kissed John in the parking lot? Mm. I don't even remember that. Yeah. Oh, Brokeback Mountain. Of course that's in here.
Wait, what kiss in that movie?
Number 35, Kiss on the Mountain.
I don't remember any kissing.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Gay!
Kiss on the Mountain. Rocky, kiss between Rocky and Adrian.
What's the big line from Brokeback Mountain?
I can't quit you.
I can't quit you. I wish I could quit.
I wish I could quit.
I love when, what's his name?
Ang Lee.
Ang says it. Yeah.
He's married to Michelle Williams. How in the hell was he gay?
I know.
Love Actually, Keira Knightley and Andrew Lincoln. Is that the little kid who plays the drums?
I have never seen that movie.
You still have to call Chris Matthews. You see how often he mentions, isn't that funny as hell? Yeah. I laughed so hard.
I forgot about that.
Top Gun, Maverick, and Charlie love scene.
What?
I don't even remember.
Top Gun, Maverick. Oh, the teacher.
That's between two gay people.
That's right. You're right.
Tom Cruise is gay, and so is Kelly.
Both of them were throwing up simultaneously
in each other's mouths. They thought, oh, at least his barf is better than kissing someone of the opposite sex.
Oh, wow. Harsh.
Barf.
Oh, another Love Actually kiss at number 15. Hugh Grant and Martine McCutcheon. That's the chick who works for him, who he falls for. And they go to the stupid event at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Officer and a Gentleman, number 12, Richard Gere, Deborah Winger.
At the very end.
That was pretty.
It's pretty iconic.
In its day.
It's probably not the best crowd.
I wish I knew how to quit.
Appreciating these things. Star Wars 5, The Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo and Princess Leia.
Absolutely. Right after he calls her Carrie, too.
Very romantic.
It's a big move, famous movie, Flo.
Oh, he called her Carrie?
Yeah,
wait,
she gets
up. Can actually hear it?
Yeah, he's like, Carrie! Yeah, right, Jerry? You never heard that?
No.
The kiss at the end of Empire. She's getting off the Millennial.
Made it in the final cut?
Yeah, she's walking off the Millennial Falcon, and he goes, Carrie! It's either Han or Luke. One of them says her real name.
Huh.
I'm pretty. Oh boy,
Mark!
I really feel like I'm out on a limb now.
You are really on to something here. Spider-Man is number 7.
All right, it's the upside down kiss.
When Mary Jane kisses Peter Parker upside down on the roof.
That's what it's called in our house.
Wait, what about when he kisses the blonde? When he does the you know, when he's not with Mary Jane, the girl he ends up going out with.
Oh, really? Oh.
It was all four at the bar.
That's an upside down one.
I love that scene where he's on the shit and he becomes Mr.
Yeah.
Stud.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty sweet.
He plays in the band.
It's based on a true story.
I know. No, that
ever
happened.
Is it?
Yeah, guy got bit by a spider.
Bridget Jones' Diary, Bridget Kisses Mark in the Snow.
Whatever.
Yeah, Dirty Dancing, Kiss at the End, number 5.
Baby.
Pretty Woman on the Fire Escape, number 4. No.
No.
Anything with Julia Roberts
She's
is
a whore.
Not. No, she is. Total whore. Ghost, Sam kisses Molly before he passes over.
That's not a real.
Was I wrong?
It was an ectoplasmic kiss.
No, it's just, I'm looking it
contact.
Up.
Oh, he was kissing Whoopi, wasn't he?
Oh, was he kissing?
How'd they kiss each other?
Sam kisses Molly before he passes over. I don't know. That movie's been a long time.
Wait, Jay, what's the update on the Star Wars?
I'm looking that one up, but it made me remember. Remember when Han Solo grabbed her tit in Return
of
the
Jedi? Oh, yeah. Yeah, remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to dress up like her sometime, chained to Jabba the Hutt, but I need a fat guy to go to a party with.
I'll do it.
To how who die?
Is that what he says?
Yes. You learn the line.
So Ghost is 3, Pretty Woman's 4, Dirty Dancing's 5, Lady and the Tramp is 2.
It's a cartoon!
It's at the restaurant, yes. It's
Does that make
cartoon.
You think of anything recently? The
cartoon
lady
kiss?
The lady on The Bachelor goes, why don't you Lady and the Tramp kiss with the hot dog?
Oh, God. And it was gross.
Disgusting.
And... Titanic number 1.
Jack and Rose.
Jay did pass me something about since we're going to the Menendez movie shortly, since we're about to wrap this up. During the months after the murders, the brothers spent money lavishly adding investigators' suspicions that they'd been involved with their parents' death. I don't know that. I mean, it in a way, who wouldn't spend a lot of money after your parents if you inherited $14 million
and
you're 21?
Yeah.
Lau bought an expensive Rolex watch, a Porsche Carrera, and Chuck's Spring Street Cafe, a Buffalo Wings restaurant in Princeton. Eric also hired a full-time tennis coach and competed in a series of pro tournaments in Israel.
Oh, I bet he sucked.
Oh, I'm surprised he did. Why didn't he stay over there?
They left the North Elm Drive mansion unoccupied, lived in 2 separate penthouse apartments in nearby Marina Del Rey. They drove around Los Angeles in their late mother's Mercedes-Benz SL convertible, dined expensively, and went on overseas trips to the Caribbean and London. Prosecutors allege the brothers spent $1 million in the first 6 months after their parents' death. Eric confessed the murders to his psychologist, who, after being threatened by Lyle, told his girlfriend about the killings. After they broke up, the girlfriend told the police. Oh, wow.
After they broke up.
Yeah.
You break up with me, I'll tell the cops.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Bad strategic move on his part.
Lau was arrested near the mansion on March 8, 1990. After police received information, he was preparing to flee California. Eric, who was in Israel at the time.
Oh, he should have stayed there.
Oh, Mark. Surrendered himself 3 days later upon returning to Los Angeles. Both were remanded without bail and were separated from each other. August 1990, Judge James Albrecht ruled the tapes of conversation between Eric and his psychologist would be admissible because Lyle had voided doctor-patient privilege due to threatening physical harm against Dr. Ozeal. That seems a little fucked up, doesn't it?
Wait, so if you threaten physical harm, it ends doctor-patient confidentiality? Is that what they're saying?
Why? Does that make any sense?
Because he's not your doctor anymore, but everything you told him before. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand that.
Well, if he confesses to a murder, though, that, you know, that's also, they're under oath, too.
Well, if he confesses to a murder, that's fine with me. That's plenty enough reason for me that a doctor should reveal it.
Right. I learned that from the Sopranos this week.
Yes. Trudy just started The Sopranos.
I know, only 10, 15 years later.
That show is so worth watching 10 years
it
or 12
really
years after
it
started.
Well done. Yeah. It's not old or out of.
I wouldn't think so at all.
Yeah.
The ruling was appealed, the voiding doctor-patient privilege, delaying the proceedings for 2 years After the ruling was initially overturned on appeal, the Supreme Court of California declared in August 92 that several tapes were admissible, though not the tape on which Eric discussed the murders. They finally allowed an L.A. County grand jury to issue indictments in December 92 on charges that the brothers had murdered their parents.
Wow. Oh, so. Special's on right now.
Mark Hamill's denying that he said Carrie in that famous scene.
But check this out, man. Judge should be like, guilty. Peace.
Amen. Idiocracy.
Oh, I love that movie.
What movie is more appropriate now?
Nothing. Brando. What is it, Brando?
Oh.
Rondo.
Rondo.
It's got
Rondo?
Electrolytes.
Yeah. Yes. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Charlie tomorrow, I do believe. And whoever else wants to be here. And then we're talking about Lions play Saturday night, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we should do a show Saturday night after the Lions game instead of doing Sunday night. Like,
okay.
Skip Sunday night, work Saturday night.
It's going to be a bummer of a show.
That's true.
Oh. Why don't we do one if they, well, let's say there's something to talk about, but there's always something to talk about.
There's always something to talk about. I don't, you know, this game seems like such a thud to me.
Yeah.
Don't you just
love
we'll figure it out.
It's going to waste everybody's Saturday night.
well, that's true. Although it does give us Sunday free. Which is kind of cool.
But there's two good games on Sunday.
Okay. We'll talk
whatever.
About it.
We'll figure it out. We'll be here when we're here.
Join Trudy tomorrow on 94.7 WCSX 6 to 10. And that's about it, I think. Anything else you want to mention, Trudy? Any more plugs?
I'm all done. Well, except for Tom Masway would be delighted to know that my Christmas tree escaped.
Oh, no. What happened?
We put it out for trash day this morning.
Oh, no. How sad. Thank God Tom didn't see it.
And it did look very dismal out there, and then the wind came and took it, and so now I believe it's just a tumbleweed like rolling around through the neighborhood.
It's on its way to Tom's house.
Oh, that would be crushing.
That's blow. Bullshit.
That'd be funny if it showed up at Tom's house. Like if everybody just started dumping their tree at Tom's house.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
We
Mother
would all get
effort.
He's got a whole forest in his front yard.
Contributory negligence when he commits suicide.
So
that would cheer him up.
How does this person ever get mixed up with us? It's just beyond belief that we work with Tom Masway. He's not right.
Like oil.
We're not right for him.
No, I know.
Get to the point.
It's a pretty funny relationship.
There's a darker side.
It is very, it's very amusing.
Quite a few laughs out of it.
I have to admit. No, and there's quite a few people that enjoy it. So,
yeah. So my tree is free.
Pounce all.
Don't appreciate it. But.
We'll see you tomorrow, and then who knows when, but sometime soon. So there. See ya.